Alrighty, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Again. So today is the 19th of the first month, 2026, and it is a Monday evening, and it's 9 minutes past 9. And we are talking about people in general today, and we're also talking about how to prioritize yourself. So the reason that we're talking about this is most, it's an elephant in the room, because I think that many of us self-sacrifice, right? We self-sacrifice, we're putting others first, we're putting, you know, family first, we're putting first, we're putting the country first, we're putting everything first. Everything must be first, and then we are secondary. So to prioritize yourself, start by setting firm boundaries and learning to say no. Now, this is a difficult one, because how do you say no to Mother Dearest? How do you say no to Father Dearest? How do you say no to Cuckoo? How do you say no to Bessie? How do you say no to your child? How do you say no? You know, especially with adult children, I think that boundaries must be set, because they are adults. They are not babies. They are adults. And being an adult, being an adult means that you need to set clear boundaries. So I've noticed that a lot of times with people that have, I almost said a cluster or a school of children. People that have many children often struggle with setting boundaries. I saw a video of a 10-year-old boy kissing his mom on the stomach and saying, "Oh, hi, mom. You look so sexy today." And she's like, "Oh, thank you." And for me, that's like, no, no. You're not going to use such language on me. I'm not your girlfriend. And you are not my man's. You are my child. You say, "Mommy, you look beautiful. You look pretty today. You look cute today." You use age-appropriate words. You use mother-friendly words. And that is how we go about it. This thing of, "Oh, you are a snack, mommy." Like, "Huh? A snack for who?" Say. Say, young child. Say, young child, baby. Eh? Like, how? So we are prioritizing ourselves this year. And we are setting firm boundaries and learning to say no. Then schedule non-negotiables. You know, non-negotiables, that we are not negotiating on our time. We're not negotiating on our finances. We're not negotiating on our children. We're not negotiating on spending time with our children. We're not negotiating on spending 70 hours doing what. We're not negotiating. There are certain things that are negotiable, and there are certain things that are not non-negotiable. And that's why you can find somebody that's selling a Merc and then they say the price is non-negotiable. You can find somebody that's selling a Merc and then they can say that the price is negotiable. It is what it is. Life is most just like that, right? Uh-huh. And then we do some me time under these non-negotiables. We do some me time, we do some self-care, and we take proper sleep and healthy eating and activities you enjoy. Now, I believe that many of us, especially for us, the grown folk, right? Along the years of being a grown folk, because many of us have been a grown folk for at least, you know, like what, 10 years, a decade, you know, many of us, 10 years, if you're in your 30s, maybe 10 years, you know, if you started early to 20 years, and if you're older than that, it's 30, 40 years. We've been grown folk, right? And part of being grown folk is understanding that, sometimes we lose the activities that we enjoy along the way, because we replace activities that we love to do with responsibilities. So you no longer go golfing because you are taking up overtime because you need more money. And that is absolutely understandable, but golf is still something that you enjoy. Golf is still something that you like. Golf is still something that is something that makes you happy. And now you've gone for 2 years without picking up your clubs. They are collecting dust in the garage, and you've been fairly miserable, but you can't say you're miserable because you have children, you have a family, you have a wife, you know, you have extended family, you have, you know, yeah, you have employees, you have employers, you are busy. So you can't say that you're unhappy. And you sometimes, many a times, we can't actually see that we are unhappy when we don't have these extramural activities that we do that are just for us. Now, there are certain people that love, shooting arrows, bows and arrows, you know, archery. And they haven't done that in a long time because time does not allow. Or you find that even when you are squeezing in self-care, you also become the corporate hand. You know, sometimes you're going for a wax, but because you're a corporate hun and you time is money for you, you are there getting your works. And every time that the therapist has to pull, you mute the mic and then you come back and discuss. And then you mute the mic, you come back and you discuss. So you can't even fully, experience your me time, which is our personal hygiene under there. You can't even fully experience that because you're a corporate hun and you are a corporate dude. And this self-care thing that you're doing is most probably not even self-care. It's just personal hygiene because of the place that you are or the places that you go. You can't have a bush. You can't have a what. And it is what it is. And then also, even if you try and schedule things like massages or, you know, like activities like walks and stuff, you have to take your phone with because you might get a phone call now that needs you to do this and that needs you to do that. And you just can't afford that. And every time your phone rings, you have to check what is happening because it's not that you're addicted to your phone. It's just that the phone is the one that brings in the income. And unfortunately, you can't actually afford to not be on your phone right now in these critical times, because these critical times are the same times that are putting the bread and the butter on your table. And I don't know, maybe it's not even bread and butter. Sometimes it's just mahango, bruh. And these activities, I know that many of us don't have, even if you were asked today, what activities do you enjoy? Many a times we would say, I don't know. Or we would associate it to what we already do for finances. So, for instance, I would say that one of the hobbies that I like, or one of the things that I do like, is talking to my audience and interacting with my audience. But that is also a job, you understand? So we started putting our personal life and our work lives, and we kind of just mix them together. And because we enjoy our work so much, we also made it a leisure time. A leisure period, and this leisure period is exactly just that. It's leisure period, and it's also a time where we can also unwind, and we can also, you know, you come to work and then you let off the steam, everything that has happened in the day, you let it off, you let it go. It's gone and buried, done and dusted. Right? But there are no real activities that me, the matriarch, can say that, oh no, I enjoy doing this because my hobbies are work. Yeah. Take a moment of silence and grasp that. My hobbies have become work. I used to be very much of a person that used to write. I used to write a lot, and I used to compose a lot, and I used to have brainstorming sessions a lot. And right now, I can honestly say the adulting has caught me, because me, I'm not doing any of those things because I feel like it's a waste of time while I could be prioritizing on maybe what I'm going to be talking about on my show and what I'm going to be doing and how tomorrow looks like. And with this said, it's one of those, and that is why we have to talk about it. But also, and also, maybe we can also just look at Honorable Esau Vakwe, like, your 6 years can do a lot. Is this year 7 of the fish rod, guys, inside the, you know, the facility? It's year 7, right? And it's, yo. It's a bit intense. But we are hopeful. We are enthusiastic. And we are just, you know, praying for the best and hoping the best will come. And. So that's what we are doing. So we're talking about prioritizing ourselves and how we are going to do that. So consistency is everything and small actions are everything. You don't have to take big steps. You don't have to move mountains. You don't have to be a gladiator in everything. You just have to take these baby steps, because I think that many a times we do not actually prioritize ourselves, especially when we become parents and we become the caretakers and the caregivers of our parents. We put ourselves in the back and we accommodate everybody else's needs and we completely forget about our own needs. And the reason that we do that is not because we are, self-sacrificing. It is because in most cases we are the only ones that are available for this and we are the only ones that could be there. It's like, the saying of God's strongest soldiers. And that is how the philosophy goes in many people's lives, because they are the last line of defense, you know, and the last line of defense is usually the one that comes out with the guns blazing of pure shots of bazookas and AKs. Bring your A game for Lieutenant May, I heard him say. And they're the ones that come out with Caspers. They're the ones that come out with grenades. They're the ones that come out with AK-47s, and it's just ...120 rounds per minute, and that's it. You are the last resort. We are like special services. We don't ask questions. We don't do any of that. We dispense of the situation. We just clear up the space. Now. We are like the people that are escorting the president and the minister from wherever they are coming from. That city police car that drives zigzag. Yeah, we are that one. Kucha as JN may pat us. Dan select your stamp. Manier on spiel me hisoni, because we don't know if you're an assassin or you're just a pedestrian. So we treat everything, yeah, like ay. And I think that that's a good thing, because no honorable has died on our watch. So yay to us. So it's prioritizing ourselves, and communication is not a luxury. Communication is so essential in contemporary times that we misinterpret every single thing if communication is not clear, because so many of us are reading into tone and demeanor. We want tone and we want demeanor, but we dismiss emotions, we dismiss triggers, we dismiss trauma, we dismiss reactions. So somebody can easily be very wrong, but then they want to gaslight you into believing that you are the wrong one because you reacted the way you reacted about something that they did that was bad. Do you want to hear that again? Somebody can gaslight you into believing that your reaction to what they did that was bad is an overreaction, and that is why your tone is the reason that they are mad. Like, had you not done that, sir, ma'am, ladies and gentlemen, had you not done that, I wouldn't have reacted the way I did. I reacted the way I did because there was an action that you did that dissatisfied me. Now, unfortunately, right, we're living in contemporary times where everybody wants to read too much into everything. We don't want to hear the truth. We don't want to hear what is actually being said. We don't want to hear the message that is being conveyed. What we want to hear is what sugarcoating looks like. We want to hear, cradle me, but I'm not going to cradle a grown person. I'm not going to cradle a grown person at all. We're not cradling here. And there's no reason for us to be cradling. Why? Why are we cradling? Didn't you get cradled when you were a child? Why do you need to be cradled by another human being that you don't know that came from their house? Why are you trying to be cradled by strangers? You just want to take on the cradle because you are such a victim and you are so, I just didn't like, I think it was your tone in the way, like nobody's going to correct their tone because we are not here as chomi chomi. Yeah, we correct our tone with our children because we don't want to traumatize them. But you as an adult that's already traumatized by your own parents and by your own things that wherever you came from, it is not my job to fix you. It's your job to go to therapy and get that out of the way. So you guys want to be cradled and you guys want to, like, you guys want to be cradled, but you don't want to cradle others. How? And we are saying that I think that it's time that we as adults stop looking into behavioral science. We should stop looking into that because we are not psychologists and we are not sociologists and we are not mind readers or psychics. We are not even in the business of body language. So you as an office administrator, you cannot come and tell me about my tone because you don't actually know anything about tone and behavior. Because what you know is work, your work. You're excellent. You're immaculate at it. Just not this one. I think that if we lower these expectations of people must say to speak to you in a particular way, then maybe, just maybe, right, we'll start to hear messages. We'll start to hear things. But many of us are walking around blind and deaf because we don't want to hear nothing. We don't want to see nothing. We don't want to be part of nothing. And we want the whole world to treat us like babies, even though we are babies' parents. So if you communicate effectively, I think that the best communication is honest. Regardless of how it sounds, it's honest. You know, I can always take honesty. No matter what tone, what demeanor, what aggression you come with, I'm willing to hear you. I'm willing to hear what you're saying because I understand that whatever you're displaying is a reaction. Whatever emotion you're displaying, you can come and tell me straight up that, yeah, you're very angry and you're what. And I won't tell you to calm down because I actually want to hear your frustration. I want to hear your frustration. I want to hear your anger so that I can see the magnitude of it. But now if we are sitting here talking nicely about you doing something very bad and you're telling me that I must be in a, you know, I must be in more cheerful spirits. I must be in more cheerful spirits because, I mean, after all, you are talking to another human being. We must talk to each other with respect. There's nothing disrespectful about being told somebody else's mind. There's nothing. There's nothing disrespectful. And also, nobody owes you respect. No one. No one owes you respect and you don't owe anyone respect. If you are out there respecting people and people are disrespecting you, then it is fine. Because that's your character. Nobody's saying change your character, Chomi. Everybody's just saying. Everybody's just saying that maybe, just maybe, right? We should stop these babying things. Because nobody's a baby here. Everybody is big. Let's communicate effectively. Yeah, effectively. Like, yes, tell it straight. And if you are a bit emotional, already start from the beginning. I'm a bit emotional right now, so I'm going to speak, but I'm speaking from a perspective of emotion so that you cannot come and say that, yeah, but the way you were talking, your tone is tone, not something that we hear. If it is a message that I am texting and you are telling me but your tone, could it not be that you read it in the bad tone that you are thinking? Could it not be that because you think I am who I am, I'm most probably saying it in a shouting way? Because I don't hear tone with SMS. I must read it in the most kindest manner. I must read it in the most straightest manner. Right? Now you guys are out here, language you turned. Your tone and your demeanor. Your tone and your demeanor, and you're so aggressive. Yeah. Effective communication. Nothing works without communication. And if we communicate more effectively with others, maybe just maybe people will stop taking us for a ride. Yeah? People will stop taking us for a ride and people will stop abusing you, because then you have made it absolutely clear that you are not here for abuse and you are walking away. Now you guys are out here smiling, which don't hit me again. Ne? How chummy? Who's going to take you serious with your nice tone? Who? Because even me, I'm not taking you seriously. I'm out here like you're asking that man to not hit you again like that. Please. It's like you are begging him. You're not commanding. You're not demanding. You're not telling them straight. It's like you're asking them, Kucha, or when you are free, can you, in case you are free today, can you please pass by, I'm Sorryville, and pick me up and never hit me again, please? It's like you're asking for that. Like, I know, guys. Let's do better. Let's do better. Let's communicate. And communication, effective communication, is not a luxury when we are setting boundaries. And we are also trying to prioritize ourselves in order for us to actually do better in our lives. In actual fact, we are all supposed to be priorities to us. Chomi.
Short on cash? Get to a USave for a bargain combo of 5 for just 170.00 Namibian dollars. 2.5 kilograms Champion Super Maize Meal, 2.5 kilograms Bokoma Fat Cook Flour, 2 kilos Nice Rice, 2 kilos Marathon White or Brown Sugar, and 1 kilogram Grande Macaroni or Spaghetti. That's all for just 170.00 Namibian dollars. Hurry to your favorite USave. We all save at USave.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Alrighty, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So we are setting the standards this year. We are doing things like a self-prioritizing. We are doing things like wonderful, 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 beautiful, beautiful things with ourselves. And we're just trying to love on ourselves, right? And this loving on ourselves is something that we need to... We need to check it. We need to honor it. We need to check in. Yeah, we need to absolutely do that. And in doing that, we are going to have a few steps that we're going to take. So part of the steps is mindset shifts. We're going to have mindset shifts. And also the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio in case you would like to call in and contribute to our conversation this beloved evening. So, mind shift, eh? Mindset shift. So, reframe self-care. What is reframing self-care? Now, before we jump into how we're going to self-prioritize, right? And we're going to read a few quotes. We're going to read a few quotes. And I know that we spoke about self-soothing, but I think that maybe, just maybe, for the brokenhearted out there, maybe you need to hear this. Some of the most poisonous people come disguised as friends and family. What this quote means is that some of the most poisonous people, lethal, deadly, they come as friends and family. And then the next one is, bad people don't go to hell. They are already there. Because they live in hell. They live in hell for all the bad things that they do to other people. They live there. Don't let bad people turn you antisocial. Just become anti-jerks. Ooh, write these things down, Liffies. Write these things down so that we can comprehend, understand, and we can dive with it. Now, diving with it is most now allowing ourselves to be, you know, in the mix and in the hang of things. So, part of our regimen for self-prioritizing is also, right? Stop fighting. Right? Many of us are fighting battles every single day. We are fighting. And I've realized that at this point, many of us have to stop fighting. We have to put down our suitcases. We have to let the guard down and we have to let it go. So in letting it go, right? I think we need to stop fighting. But before that, let us have our guest come through and tell us about stop fighting and the secrets to it. Enjoy.
All right. Today it is my goal to fix your conflicts. I know it's a lofty goal, but I'm up for the challenge because I know full well how damaging it can be to your romantic relationships in particular when little things are turning into big fights for seemingly no reason, or you've stopped fighting altogether, but you've also stopped talking and connecting, haven't you? And you're just existing as roommates, and the passion and intimacy that you used to have feels like it's drying up. And I have to warn you, I'm going to hit you with a lot of information today. This will be overwhelming for some of you, others of you, it'll be right up your alley. But if you can just take a few key points that resonated with you and actually implement them, it can change everything. One person can interrupt the negative cycles that we're going to talk about. One person can positively affect the relationship. One person cannot single-handedly bring connection and closeness back into the relationship. That takes both of you being on board. Healing hinges on both of you agreeing to self-reflect and take accountability and practice empathy and curiosity again. If you don't have any interest in doing that, then you don't actually have an interest in loving your partner or experiencing connection with them. Because conflict is a normal and natural part of every relationship. You're going to disagree. You're going to eventually unintentionally hurt each other. One or both of you will eventually feel dismissed, neglected, or disrespected. That's a given. But how you handle those moments is a choice. And it's a choice that affects everything about your future together. We think avoiding conflict at all costs is the goal, but the interesting fact is conflict is actually necessary for intimacy. Conflict isn't bad, it's neutral. We make it bad when we mishandle it, but there's actually an appropriate way to navigate it with respect and empathy and curiosity that actually leads to the passion and connection you say you want with each other. And some people will say, yeah, but Jimmy, my partner has no interest in listening or validation or sacrificing for me. I mean, I get what you're saying, but it just doesn't apply to me because they don't care about this stuff. What am I supposed to do? Here's what I had to learn the hard way. Connection and closeness don't happen by accident, right? They require certain things, certain environments to exist, and you won't feel close to someone if you don't feel like they care about how you feel loved. Plain and simple. I don't know what that means for your future, but I know that connection is impossible unless we get conflict right together. So that's what I want to help you out with today. So let's get started with the first pillar of fixing your conflicts. You have to have a culture of appreciation and affection in your relationship. Dr. Sue Johnson said, when marriages fail, it is not increasing conflict that is the cause. It is decreasing affection and emotional responsiveness. The demise of the marriage begins with a growing absence of responsive, intimate interactions. And you might say, what does affection have to do with conflict? Everything. Because when your love tank hasn't been full for years, when your emotional bank account is only getting withdrawals instead of deposits, of course you're fighting all the time because you don't feel valued or loved anymore. Just think about back when you were dating or newly married. You had an atmosphere of appreciation and admiration for each other, didn't you? You didn't need to be reminded to send her that sweet text. You didn't need to be reminded to show up to his job and surprise him with lunch and a kiss in front of his jealous coworkers. You did that stuff naturally. You complimented each other more. You looked out for ways to remind them you were grateful for each other. You appreciated them. You touched each other. You were responsive. You were intimate. And not just in the bedroom. Your relationship was rich with positive affirmations for each other. You wrote notes to each other. You texted each other sweet things. You reminded them, I can't wait to see you. I'm lucky to have you. So my question is, why'd you stop? I know why I stopped, because those feelings of butterflies wore off. I got complacent. We both just kind of stopped doing those little things for each other because work got in the way, kids got in the way, stress got in the way, right? And yet when you're both sitting in the counseling office like we were, you're going to admit how you missed that affection and appreciation that you used to have. The couples that thrive, the research shows, are the couples that intentionally make deposits into each other's emotional bank accounts through affection and gratitude and looking out for ways to remind each other, I love you. I'm so glad we're doing this together. Thank you for showing up in the ways you do. The couples that make it look out for ways to serve each other and sacrifice for each other in the ways their partner feels loved most. The couples that make it prioritize checking in with each other and prioritizing emotional responsiveness. If you haven't felt that for years, it doesn't take a genius to realize why you're fighting all the time. All right, the second pillar is, just like you have to have a culture of appreciation and affection, you have to create a safe place for your partner to be honest and vulnerable about any unmet needs or hurts or feelings or complaints. There's just no option where there can be intimacy or connection in this relationship and then feel unsafe chronically to bring up their feelings, needs, or concerns. It just doesn't exist. And here's the problem. In 80% of relationships, it's lopsided, meaning one partner primarily brings up the vast majority of the concerns or feelings, usually the woman, but not always. And the other partner has this attitude of, why can't we just exist together? Why do we need to bring these things up? I mean, don't you feel like you're making too big a deal about this? And I can just tell you, if that's your attitude towards someone who is trying to share their inner world, then that's like pouring gasoline on the fire. Now they're going to do one of two things. One, they're going to escalate because their fears and triggers around being abandoned and feeling alone and unheard and unloved are being activated. So they're going to get even more heated and say things like, you don't even care about me. You never listen to me. That's going to trigger your shame and wounds around being seen as a failure or not being good enough. And you're going to respond with, you're overreacting. Nothing I do is good enough for you. Does that dynamic sound familiar to anyone? Or two, they're going to start shutting down. They're going to lose trust that you're a safe place for them and stop bringing up their hurts or needs. And that might seem more peaceful for a little while, but the truth is, you're losing them. And eventually, you're going to wake up one day and they'll be gone, and you won't know why. Dr. John Gottman says marriages die in the conversations that never happen. That's why. So let's break out of these cycles together. Step number one, have an intentional appreciation for each other, a rich environment of admiration. Be on the lookout for ways that they're showing up. Express gratitude out loud. Fill their love tank through serving them and affection. Step number two, you have to provide at least some space. We can debate on how much is too much, but it's not zero. You have to provide some space where your partner feels safe to have a need or complaint without you punishing them for that. A healthy relationship can handle the occasional complaint or negative feeling. If I were you and you're watching this with your partner, admit out loud, I want you to feel safe to bring up your inner world and feel seen, heard, and understood. You deserve that. I want you to feel like I'm on your team and that you can rely on me. And on the flip side, for the person who tends to bring up the vast majority of the complaints or feelings, you need to admit out loud, thank you for providing that space. I want to bring up my feelings and needs in a respectful way without criticism, blame, or passive aggressiveness or yelling at you. I don't want you to feel like I'm attacking you because I'm not. I just want to feel heard and close to you. Julie Manano says in her book, Secure Love, every time we snap, defend, shut down, push away, get cynical, sarcastic, use passive aggressive humor, or call names, it is a misguided attempt to say, hear me, feel some of my pain so you know how much this hurts. I need to feel safe right now. And this isn't meant to justify those actions or words. It's meant to expose them for what they are. Your criticism and defensiveness has a purpose. And the purpose is protecting yourself from pain, but it's also to reconnect with your partner. We're saying, hey, this hurts. Please care about my pain. But we need to remind each other these are misguided attempts that are actually causing more pain. So what can we do instead? We can establish a standard right now. We can create an agreement in our relationship that we're going to practice being vulnerable and we're going to practice holding space for our partner's vulnerability with listening and understanding and empathy. This will not be easy for you, because both of you in different ways have reinforced the idea to each other, I'm not a safe place to share your feelings or needs with, or I'm just out to attack you and call you a failure. You need to remind each other, I want to know your heart. I want both of us to practice being vulnerable and holding space for each other. That's the only way we can heal together. We replace the old bad habits that made us want to escalate or shut down with calm, safe conversations where we can slowly start to lower our armor that we've put up over the years and begin to trust each other again. This isn't a one-time process. It's done over months and months of two steps forward and one step back. Connection, disconnection, repair, repeat. You don't have to get this right perfectly. You just have to get this right consistently. Show your partner you're committed to trying something new. Your relationship essentially lives and dies based on whether you can have these difficult conversations with each other and maintain a sense of connection and closeness through mutual respect and empathy. It's not optional. It's essential. All right, third pillar of fixing our conflicts, identify actual feelings and needs. We can all struggle with identifying feelings and needs, especially for men. Identifying feelings seems like a waste of time, right? It feels weak to even have feelings. But the reality is, your body will feel your feelings regardless of whether you identify them or not. Your suppressed feelings don't go away. They just come out in other destructive ways, like rage or resentment or addiction or alcoholism or anxiety or avoidance. It's way healthier for you to actually become in touch with what you're feeling. That doesn't make you weak. That makes you emotionally intelligent. And especially for the people who have anxious attachment, where you think you're being vulnerable and honest because you're the one that's bringing up what you're feeling. But what you're really saying is, you never touch me. You never help me around the house. You never take me out anywhere. I feel like you don't even care. But within all that vulnerability, you didn't actually mention one feeling or need. So stop saying you're being honest and vulnerable when you're not actually being respectful or mature in what you're actually needing or feeling, right? I know it's scary, but this is a necessary skill we have to learn in this relationship or the next one. So here's a list of common feelings that we need to start using when we're being vulnerable. Supported, loved, accepted, safe, valued, ashamed, embarrassed, humiliated, rejected, neglected, abandoned, frustrated, angry, disrespected, afraid, overwhelmed, worried, confused, pressured, blamed, lonely, unheard, sad, hurt, misunderstood, hopeless, disconnected, inadequate. Let's actually start practicing using these feelings in day-to-day language, and especially when we're being vulnerable. Things are going to come up day-to-day. Something's going to happen, and we're going to feel overlooked or dismissed. It's essential that we can say, hey, when this happened, I felt dismissed. And the story I'm telling myself is that you really don't care. Can we talk about it? Or when you get defensive and invalidate my feelings, I feel really hurt and disconnected and scared that you don't really care about what I need to feel loved in this relationship. I can understand that that seems overwhelming and vulnerable. And of course, we need to have some discernment with how and when we bring things up. But the reason we eventually break up or fight constantly is because so often we're not being honest about what we're actually feeling. And we just shove it down. We often dismiss our own feelings and needs before our partner even does. So just like we did with feelings, let's go over some top needs in a relationship. These are what we're so often fighting for without saying what we need more of. Respect, safety, trust, consideration, intimacy, equality, affection, appreciation, independence. Having these needs is not wrong. We all have needs. Now, I will admit some needs can be unhealthy, like the need for constant reassurance or control or avoiding conflict or intimacy altogether. But the point is, if we ever want closeness with another person, we have to learn about what they need to feel loved and valued in this relationship. Just think about the opposite. Would a relationship work if your partner didn't take any accountability when they messed up, or they rarely, if ever, apologized, or they didn't care about how their words and actions affected you? Would you feel close to someone who had no desire for you? Me neither. So let's at least admit we need certain things in a relationship. And during a conflict, don't forget to remember you're supposed to be on the same team. We fight for a reason, because we want to feel seen, heard, and understood. We want to communicate something. Usually, that behavior hurt me, or I need this to feel close to you. Ask yourself, what am I fighting for in my conflicts? Is it respect? Is it appreciation? Is it affection? Is it equality? Is it independence? Let's at least start admitting that. And if you're in a fight with your partner, you should be asking yourself, what are they fighting for? What are they needing right now? How can I explore that? All right, the fourth pillar of fixing our conflicts is learning how to express yourself with respectful vulnerability. And we've already touched on it numerous times, but you need to come up with a framework for how to begin having hard discussions. We've already established that we're both trying to intentionally fill each other's love tanks. We're trying to provide a safe place for our partner to share their inner world, especially their negative emotions. And they've agreed to remove criticism, blame, shame, yelling, or passive aggressiveness because those things don't help anything. They only hurt your hopes and goals. Because your goal is to feel heard and understood, right? Your hope is that they move in your direction. Your hope is that your pain is validated as real, or they see that a certain behavior is hurting you, or for them to listen to you when you have an unmet need. But we can't achieve any of those goals if we lead with criticism or contempt or accusations. You never do this. You always do that. You're so lazy. I knew you didn't care about me. The truth is, that's just our own immaturity trying to protect us from actually being vulnerable and simply stating what we feel and need to feel close to them. So instead, we're going to talk about what happened. We're not going to bring things up that happened a year ago to shame them. We're using this formula. When this happened, or when that didn't happen, I'm feeling X. And this is the story I'm telling myself. I've been doing the dishes every night for this week. I'm feeling pretty dismissed. And the story I tell myself is that you don't care that I'm stuck doing the lion's share of this task. And that makes me sad and frustrated. Notice how I didn't blame you for how I'm feeling. I simply stated what I'm feeling and why. Because the truth is, underneath all of our fights are hidden feelings and needs. Our job is to reflect and take responsibility to express them clearly. And as their partner, your job is to listen out for feelings and needs hidden underneath the frustrations or complaints. Remember, we want them to feel safe to express their inner world. And occasionally, they're probably going to misstep a little bit. Maybe they don't actually mention a feeling and they say, I can't believe you made that joke about me at the party. That was so insensitive. Our job is to listen for the hurt underneath. And instead of getting defensive and saying, it was just a joke. Are you serious? We say, it sounds like you're really hurt, and I certainly didn't intend to hurt you. Can we talk about this? And that should help your partner to choose not to escalate and instead switch to a more vulnerable option, where they say, yeah, I was so hurt. That probably wasn't your intention, but I felt really abandoned in that moment. The story I told myself is that you don't even care how your words affect me, and that hurts so bad. It scared me to think that you could forget about me like that. And then we hold space for that, and we say, yeah, that makes sense. Thank you so much for telling me. You're right, it wasn't my intent to hurt you, but I can see how I was careless with my words and that did hurt you. And I don't want that for you. I promise I'm going to be more careful with my words. I'm so sorry. The truth is, it's easier to say, you never want to spend any time with me. You're always working or you're on your phone. Everything revolves around you. Than saying, I'm scared that you don't want to spend time with me. I miss you. It fills my love tank so much when you used to plan those dates together and you haven't done that for a while and it just hurts. I feel lonely, maybe a little rejected, like work is more important than this relationship to you. Isn't it fascinating that we mean the same thing in both of those statements? We're simply looking for them to move in our direction and see our pain and listen to our hurt and prioritize us in the ways we feel loved most. But only one of those statements has the chance of that happening. And it's not the one where we accuse them. Criticism and blame seem like a shield that will protect us from being rejected or hurt, but they actually set us up for a lower chance of being heard and understood. All right, so here are a few vulnerability guidelines that I want you to keep in mind. Lead with the most generous assumption when possible. Don't make generalizations or accusations. You never, you always, you don't care. Exchange criticisms for requests. You never touch me becomes, I feel so loved when you touch me. Would you do that for me more? If you feel yourself getting critical or blaming, just stop and say, hey, I think that came across a little blaming. Can I start over? And if you're on the other side and your partner starts out accusatory or critical, you can say, hey, can we just talk about what you're feeling and needing? Because I want to understand you right now. And just as a reminder, they are allowed to not solve this issue right here and now. If they need space, that's okay, but they need to be the one to plan when this conversation will take place in the future. And if you're the type that complains a lot, you need to throttle it back and practice some discernment. If you're the type that shoves it all down, you need to be more in touch with what you're actually needing and feeling and have the courage to bring it up more. And your partner needs to encourage that courage by saying, I want you to share when something's bothering you. That's what leads to healing and connection. Repetitive moments where you used to be scared to bring something up, but this time you try and reach for them and they turn towards you instead of against you and hold you and hear you. That's when your body says, this is different and I like this. All right, final thoughts on expressing. It makes sense why you're scared to be vulnerable. I heard someone say recently, we're wired for connection, but when we have trauma in our lives, it rewires our brain for protection. We're scared to be vulnerable because we are protecting ourselves, most likely because of our past. Being vulnerable didn't lead to us feeling safe, seen, or heard. Why would we want to go through that again? But the solution isn't to avoid, and the solution isn't attacking them before they can attack us. The solution is honoring that little girl or little boy that's still inside of you that wasn't safe, and reminding them that they are safe now. Because we can't afford not to be vulnerable. We can't afford to have these walls up anymore, to shut off our emotions or just shut down completely. There are certain people in our lives, if they're trustworthy, where we want connection and closeness with them. And those walls don't serve us anymore. We can do both. Be vulnerable and set healthy boundaries. That's still kindness. Now, just because you are vulnerable, does that mean that they're going to respond the way we want them to? No. We can't control anyone else's reactions or behavior. They might still take what you say as an attack. They might still go on the defensive and invalidate and dismiss your feelings. We can't prevent that. All we can do is show up as the best, most mature version of ourselves. And I'm telling them, defensiveness kills your connection. Invalidation pushes your partner away. We defend and dismiss because of our own shame. We think they're calling us a failure, when really they might just be saying, I'm opening up my heart to you and showing you the parts of me that I don't show other people because I want to trust you. All right, fifth pillar is learning how to validate our partner even if I don't agree with their feelings. Let's start with what validation is. Validation is simply acknowledging that their feelings and experience is real and important to you. If someone shares an actual feeling, like I feel overwhelmed, anxious, hurt, sad, angry, disconnected, embarrassed, it's not our job to convince them that they shouldn't feel that way. Those feelings are real to them. Feelings are signals that happen in our body, and they are happening for a reason. And while I can agree that we should challenge our thoughts and assumptions that might have formed our feelings, right? It's also true that so often we don't choose to feel our feelings. They just happen to us. And sometimes the best way to challenge our feelings is when someone we love first validates them and says, hey, I care about what you're experiencing. Let's explore this together as a team. Because I love you. That's validating. When someone accepts you and acknowledges that what you're feeling is at least real to you, that helps calm your nervous system. We validate our partner because it's someone who we're supposed to love, right? This is someone who we're supposed to trust. When they say they're feeling hurt or rejected, it's not our job to dismantle the facts of how they came to that conclusion, so we don't have to feel any responsibility. Maybe they weren't blaming you for their feelings. They were simply sharing them. You have the opportunity to move towards them in this moment instead of away from them by saying, tell me what led you to feel that way. I care about what's going on. That's validating. Invalidation, on the other hand, always results in worse disconnection. That would sound like, you're so sensitive. Oh my gosh, not this again. Stop being so dramatic. You're making a big deal about nothing. You're imagining things. You're so negative. Just get over it already. Oh, okay. I guess I can't do anything right. I'm just a terrible person. Plus, your feelings aren't my problem. Or invalidation could just be silence. Someone telling you something vulnerable and you're just rolling your eyes or refusing to pay attention or mocking them with a laugh. Those things push our partner away. It shames them for having feelings and it makes them feel abandoned and alone and less likely to ever feel safe with us. Validating phrases, on the other hand, sound like this. I don't want you to feel that way. Tell me about what's going on. Or, yeah, I can see how you would feel that way. Or, your experience matters to me. Thank you for being able to share it with me. Or, that makes sense. I can totally see that. I want to make this right. It's not about getting the words perfect. It's about the energy behind them. Even just making eye contact and nodding when they're talking to you about something that's important to them is validating. It shows them, I care. I'm engaged. Summarizing what they said is also validating. You say, okay, I want to get this right. So when this happened, you felt rejected. And this is what you needed in that moment from me. Did I get that right? We validate our partner because they matter to us. We can't validate without first listening to what they're telling us. Give them the floor. Let them express themselves. Don't interrupt. Don't look for ways to correct them so you can prove that they shouldn't feel that way. Just listen intentionally. Engage. Nod. Match their emotion. If they seem sad, you seem sad. This isn't about being fake. It's not manipulating them. It's trying to empathize with someone you love who is trying to share something important to you about their inner world. That's how love is demonstrated. Listening to understand what are they feeling? What are they needing? Empathizing with their pain and taking accountability for any unintentional hurt. You'll get your turn to talk. You'll get your turn to share your experience. But be mature enough in this moment to give them this moment. Show them they're a priority because they're the ones that brought it up. And if you forget everything else, remember this. The thing every single person in this world wants the most when they are hurting or in pain is for the people who are closest to them to move in their direction, to be a safe place for them to open up about their experience and try to understand them instead of judging or dismissing them. Now, it is important to note, I'm not saying validate accusations or blame. Just because their feelings are valid doesn't mean their behavior is. If they say, you never help me around the house, you're such a self-centered narcissist, how could you be so stupid? Validation isn't, you're right, I'm awful. Validation doesn't mean shame spiraling or agreeing with their accusations. If my wife said something like, you never do this, you don't care, you're so lazy, I would gently remind her, I'm willing to have this conversation about what she's feeling or needing, but I can't do that if she's just going to accuse or criticize me. Here's the hardest part. When we've had some trauma in our lives, which we all have, one symptom is that you're very sensitive to shame. So if you're the partner who gets defensive easily, maybe you have a tendency to defend yourself or dismiss their feelings, you invalidate them, but it's just because you feel unfairly blamed and attacked, right? Here's my advice for you. If your partner tosses you a criticism, you can practice by saying, ooh, man, that hurts. I kind of feel defensive right now, but I don't think it was your goal to attack or blame me. Can we back up and talk about what you're feeling and what your intention was for bringing this up? Because I want to understand you. Is that hard to do in the moment? Absolutely. But it's both of our jobs to interrupt the cycle, right? It takes two to fight. And once someone starts lobbing criticisms or accusations, those are signals that the conflict is turning into a fight and there needs to be an intervention now. This takes a lot of self-reflection. I get that, but it's possible. Defending ourselves, dismissing them, or shutting down isn't going to help anything. And you might have good reasons for why you shut down. We think our words are going to get used against us, right? We think talking is only going to make things worse. This person is being aggressive and we don't know what else to do. We're just waiting for this uncomfortable moment to pass so we don't say anything. But at the end of the day, shutting down only perpetuates the disconnection, right? It doesn't lead to the closeness that I want for you. So what can we do instead of shutting down? We have to start being aware of what shutting down feels like in our bodies, right? And then we take a break when that happens. Because it's not immature to say, hey, I need a break. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm having trouble listening to you in the way that you deserve to be listened to. Can we just take a 30-minute break and come back to this? Once again, we can't control how someone might respond. They might accuse you of being immature and just leaving the conversation, but you know that's not what's happening. You're actually doing a very mature thing, recognizing that your nervous system is triggered. And that means you're not really present in the way that you need to be. The only thing that solves that is calming our nervous system through taking some deep breaths and taking some time to relax. All right, final thoughts on validation. Nothing feels safer to your partner than when they've had the courage to say something really hard like, hey, what you did or didn't do hurt me. And you can actually stay grounded instead of immediately jumping to defensiveness or dismissing them. And you say, I want to know how you're feeling. In an unhealthy dynamic, we don't want to know about their pain because it triggers our own wounds of not being enough. Our shame gets triggered, and even if they use all the right words and they're actually vulnerable with us, we still think we messed up, they think we're a failure, and if we don't prove them wrong, then it's going to be confirmed that I'm a failure or the relationship is going to be in jeopardy. So you're actually defending yourself because you deeply care how this person views you. Start being vulnerable and actually saying that. All right, sixth pillar of resolving conflict. Let's briefly talk about boundaries. Because we should want to know our partner's boundaries. We shouldn't want our partner to feel overextended or neglected or uncomfortable or pressured. We cannot experience closeness and connection with someone if we don't care about their boundaries. And setting healthy boundaries around conflict is about communicating my standards and needs. It's not about controlling the other person. Personally, I have a boundary around name calling and yelling. So if I'm in a disagreement with someone and they call me a name, I'm going to leave that conversation for 30 minutes. That's just my boundary. It requires nothing from the other person. I'm going to enforce my boundary whether they agree with it or not. Now, some people will say, ah, but you can't set boundaries with a narcissist because they won't respect them. And I agree. And yet, what do we all agree is the only solution to getting out of a narcissistic relationship? Going no contact, right? Going no contact is the perfect example of a boundary. They don't need to agree with why you're going no contact for you to enforce and uphold it. If someone tries to argue with your feelings, as long as it's safe, you can say, my feelings aren't up for debate. Or you can say nothing because you know that arguing with someone who has no capacity or emotional intelligence is pointless. And while it's very sad that you most likely won't experience any intimacy with this person due to their immaturity, That's still the reality. And there's no point in trying to convince someone that you're allowed to feel hurt or scared or disconnected. All right, the last pillar of fixing your conflicts is accountability and repairing old hurts. Once we're breaking out of our cycles, once we're fixing our conflicts again, I believe it's necessary for us to take accountability for our hurtful words and actions in the past and do what we can to repair that. Let's say you used to yell because you felt so unheard. Maybe you were critical, maybe you called them names in the past. And sure, in your head, you've justified it a million times because they were worse, or they provoked you, or whatever it is. Simply take responsibility for how you used to show up in hurtful ways. Say, it makes sense why you jumped to defensiveness in the past. I wasn't actually being vulnerable with you. I was using a lot of criticism and blame, and that was wrong. I'm sorry. I bet that left you feeling pretty unappreciated or unfairly attacked. Like I was looking out for ways you were messing up so I could label you as a failure. I certainly don't want that to be your experience. I want you to feel appreciated and valued in this relationship. I'm open to hearing about how that impacted you. And if you used to get defensive or shut down or punish their vulnerability when they brought up their feelings, if you said things like, stop being so sensitive, stop making everything an issue, your feelings aren't my problem, you need to know that those words caused major damage in the relationship. There's a lot of legitimate hurt, and you need to repair that. That would sound like this. In the past, I was defensive and dismissive of your feelings. I would shut down because I felt so overwhelmed and I felt attacked. But I realized that you weren't trying to shame me. You were trying to tell me how you felt loved and valued. And I can see now that when I shut down or when I would defend myself, that left you feeling abandoned and alone. And I'm so sorry. That was wrong. It makes sense why you didn't feel safe to be vulnerable, but I want to change that. I want to do everything I can to repair that and learn how to show up for you because that's what you deserve. This is what helps rebuild trust in the relationship. It's not only about doing the right things going forward. It's about acknowledging old hurts and actually inviting your partner to share their experience so we can process them and validate them and repair them together. That's what gives them the confidence to actually trust you again. In order to have a mutually fulfilling relationship, we need to be able to have the hard talks, and we need to be able to navigate conflict together with mutual respect, and then we need to get on the same page before the conflict even starts. We need to come up with agreements and standards and boundaries and protocols before we get triggered and heated and emotionally charged. Trying to think about that stuff in the middle of a fight is too late. We need to be asking them, what does mutual respect during a conflict look like to you? What causes you to feel defensive or attacked? What helps you feel seen and heard? What can I do to help you feel valued and appreciated, especially during a conflict? Can we agree to take a break once there's any yelling or name calling? Can we agree that if one of us says we need to take a break, then we can't argue with that? Can we agree not to fight in front of kids or extended family? And if I were you in the beginning of this process, have a code word or a code phrase like, hey, can I talk to you about something that's on my heart? And that's your cue that this isn't just a normal conversation. This might be one of those hard talks where someone's going to bring up a hurt or a feeling. Let's train ourselves to not let that terrify us. We don't need to be scared. We just need to follow the rules. Hey, when this happened, here's what I'm feeling. On the other side, I'm exploring their hurt by listening and practicing compassionate curiosity and trying to understand their perspective because they matter to me. I'm defaulting to listening instead of defensiveness because I know that helps them feel safe and connected. And one of you is usually going to struggle with being vulnerable more than the other. So if you see your partner struggling, you say, it kind of feels like you're overwhelmed.
Good evening. Hello. Good evening. Please call back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're doing the most, Moss, and we are basically listening, and we're talking about self-prioritization today. So how are we going to prioritize ourselves? And one of the ways that we are going to prioritize ourselves is by learning how to fight with those that we love.
With all these questions, would you say that's accurate? They're probably going to say, yeah. And we can say, that makes sense. I would feel overwhelmed too if I were you. That's still being empathetic. That's validating and building trust with your partner. And hopefully they'll use that to build up the courage to continue to try to be vulnerable. Because without vulnerability, we won't have actual intimacy. Thank you so much for listening. I know it was...
All right. Good evening. Welcome. back. That was the oh-so-famous Jimmy. And he's talking about how to learn how to fight and the secret to stop fighting. And this is essential, especially for us that are self-prioritizing, right? Good evening.
Yes, Nadia, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Uncle G? Thank you so much for calling.
I'm okay. I hope you can hear me because the other caller.
Hey, I can hear you.
He was just talking, so we cannot hear him.
Oh, he was just talking softer.
Yeah.
Hi, I was so nice.
So what's up, Matrix?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
We are doing the most.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you guys are coming. You are back.
Are we back?
Yeah.
We're back, in Venduka.
In Venduka, I can hear nicely.
Nice and clear. You can hear me nice and clear. Oh,
nice,
that is wonderful. So how are you going to self-prioritize? How are you going to look after yourself only? I'm not talking about your family. I'm not talking about wife, children. Only you, yourself, only.
Is what I'm saying, this year it will be myself.
Mm-hmm. I think this year is a very selfish year. All of us started this year. Everyone that I know started this year saying this is going to be my year alone, only me.
I'm telling you, it's true. Because remember one thing that most of us, we don't mind pay attention when it comes to us.
Yeah.
Even in healthy, anything.
Mm.
Even eating good food.
Yeah.
The first priority is about your family.
The kids.
A kid, my friend.
You eat a fat cake and then you buy them Nandos.
Yeah. Coconut Nandos, yeah.
Of course.
I'm going to have to throw pizza.
And even when the pizza gets there, the children are so many that you don't even get. And even if you get, you have to give the Nero because the Nero is just shashe ndelele na yen ente kukalele. No man.
We are in trouble.
So how are you going to take care of yourself this year?
This year I'm going to take care of myself by I think I have to take myself for shopping. Been a while, man.
every December and every, you shop for the kids at least twice to three times a year.
Twice even.
Three times, like school times.
I'm telling myself, it's about even like maybe 2 years ago.
My dear, we can't see not a hunch. So you're going to start with shopping. How many times are you going to shop for yourself this year?
This year I think I will take myself three times.
Three times, ne? How much is your budget?
I think I will go like, as long as more than 3K.
You'll never do it. You won't, eh?
Serious, I would do it. I'm telling you.
You must send me those receipts.
But the
you
problem
must send
was,
me those receipts because me, I'm telling you, you will not do it. You will not do it. On the problem, like, mark my words. If your budget is 3,000, you will never do it.
But do you know the problem was, is when I saw something I like, like a t-shirt, then they end up like a lot, or I just give away. I can't remember when did I bought my shoot. I'm telling you, serious,
always buying.
Then maybe like
the whole week.
If I was a third person,
every Sunday.
Every Sunday, different shoot.
I have my uncle Kukushindo Dorane.
Yeah.
Kukushindo Dorango, no. He only wears suits. Monday to Monday. Even on a Sunday, he's wearing a suit. So now the first time I saw him without a suit was last year. I'm telling you, we drove past him. We drove past him. And then he was like, hey,
no,
Wuthu.
Hey,
Wuthu. I'm like, stop. I think that's my uncle.
Yeah.
When I check like this, it's him. Hazaroka Shodinoka t-shirt. I'm like, I didn't know you also have these clothes. Yeah. Maybe that man has maybe 300 suits, maybe 365 suits, because he can wear this suit today and then suit again. But I'm telling you now, if you're saying your budget is 3,000, you won't do it.
Yeah, I won't do it.
No, you won't do it. Start with a small budget.
Small.
Start with a small budget so that you at least still fulfill the promise, and then you can move up with the money later. Start with 450 to him a big dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or 450 to him a big dead. Bring him a Mr. Price.
Big daddy. Yeah.
Mr. Price, nenge mo big daddy. Ove toka kufa mone two or three things. I would prefer Big Daddy, Shashi. No, Big Daddy is rejected clothes from Trueworth, Foshini, and Woolworth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 Yes,
I think I need like a two long ones.
The long ones. Yes.
Yeah.
Then you just budget. So that you still fulfill the promise and then you don't feel guilty.
Yeah, which is true.
Shashino, 450. I'll
regret you with that money.
Oh, 3,000. 3,000 is a lot of money, you.
Maybe you know the thing which is hating right now.
Yeah.
The money which is spending in our kids. My two boys only, the twins.
Eh.
I spend almost like more than 6K.
Eh?
Tala, book. Ngaku.
Boundaries, yes.
Allah, can you see it again?
Or 180. Okay, shit.
Or Jesse, free something.
Oh my God.
What the one with that?
No. My father never did anything for me. You're like, hey, you don't know that I used to call the radio complaining about 6,000
Oh, my friend, check your receipt.
Receipts, my dear. Keep your receipts, and then you say, "Kuja, okay, this one, it was my responsibility. Mara, okay, I've seen the no Nando's. I want my money back.
I want my money back.
Yeah, this one, Ikutu, it was my responsibility.
You can even pay monthly.
Monthly installments. For 20 years.
I'm feeling so guilty, but I know, man.
Ma, 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 ma I have in December. Why the natural? Yeah. She talking about January. Tae kuru kironga kudana to come home. Mara, they spend the whole December ta natural monga ku.
The natural.
Kwa form mwanje elu taimo monga ku. Mo grasshopper. Taimo itandiwa na moe. Kamo to trainga neno mikansi nje ayo koskora. Ah, wite wana mo.
I suggest, guys, now we have a problem with books. Mm-hmm. Now, you remember, even the young one now also started grade one. However, following after 10 years. Reminding me, guys, there's a kid here now which needs this and this. Mm. Okay, can I even we buy what? To the place with this chip.
Mm.
He's saying, okay, need to buy for one person. Then I feel greedy. Kuta no, if I buy one person, kama, umewinya, that thing wana wanwa, until March maybe. Oh. Yeah, then I wanna have it,
Let me just buy. Shashuna poka kala umwe. And that one is the understanding child than endishi. Kucha is okay, then for me, you can just buy for me in March. Yeah,
money to buy, na, for meantime,
It's okay, my son. It's fine. Mara, anti tama kene andi zimbuka pomba. So just start with a small budget for yourself. A small one. Shashi, no, if you spend 3,000 on yourself, I'm telling you, ne. Even to go and explain to your wife. Kucha, you spend $3,000 on your own clothes.
On myself.
Onjo, kano te dijara akwe pinati ditane neni. Onto mwapitana emu tulu tara ndio toye ya uiro ningeno 3,000.
O 450. We kufama uke mweni.
It must not be 500.
Metric, you know metric what you think I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I want also, okay, after I spend maybe 450, then I can sit down with the long one. And it's like a movie.
Yeah.
Alone.
Just alone without your
Alone, my friend. Oh. Just alone. That's the thing which I need for this year.
Oh, yes. Nenge tankalia.
Yeah.
Vona varifim.
Tureza tuge.
Vena varifim.
Vona varifim.
Ndeita kujoka doggy bega noho.
Don't eat the whole day.
And don't tell the kids we are going anywhere also. Like the lies we tell our kids also. Like I become such a professional. But it's only that the big one is growing. Now he's starting to say, this encyclopedia that you're going to, mommy, is encyclopedia, not those books with a lot of.
Which you used to carry. Now what happened to the big bag? Which you used to.
Encyclopedia is not those big books, almost like dictionaries. I know. Then how are you going to those big books? There's a place called encyclopedia also. The follow-up questions are the ones that kill me. Where is this place where you are going?
This place now, wasn't it?
It's in Clean Windhoek. Which side? The side of your work. Inda ukalale elu. But mommy, it's 7 o'clock. That oh, I. Oh, I know.
I don't time out of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're going to buy clothes 3 times a year, and that is going to be roughly 1,400 that you're going to spend on yourself this year for clothes.
Yeah. Which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing. Because yeah. It's not more than 1.5, and it's not more than 500 even when you go. Because we as wives only get angry when you spend 500.
Last year I took myself out even. Did I tell you the story that I end up in Angola and then I get arrested?
No. Please tell us.
Seriously?
No. You got arrested for what?
You see now.
What did you do?
I went there with a car.
That is not yours.
The guy said, for petrol, I guess.
Oh.
Then. I'm sure for petrol. I remember what I know. This guy is a professional.
Yeah.
It's not a problem. I only go to Asia and the money and the Shapupuna with that or do it to do Angaba. Okay. It's a good deal. I'm on that side. No problem. You don't know when you go off for Kumbo Manek. What happened? I went to talk.
How much is that?
It's 350.
Oh,
it's more or less, I'm going to go to Namibia. More or less, I think it's 200 something.
There at the border, we will need to go to 150.
Now I have to be escorted into Namibia. Somebody have to come go and get the car. Immigrant.
You are Mexican in America.
America, that's the world. No revenge again. They are going to be here. I don't remember that I want to bring a car. I'm talking about.
But passing by the border would have just been easier for you, Shashi. No, it would have just been 150.
It doesn't even cost anything, Opasa. That paper.
Like
a timbulan.
But why don't you have your passport, sir?
I have.
Why did you leave it?
The problem, I don't know what was going on in my mind. Suddenly, I have my passport. I have my ID, which I supported me to take it to go and make a pass. I just have my license. And I never knew, man. I never knew it was you need
another
a pass.
Person's country. Okay. How?
When we go to Arango Bay, we don't get those things.
Yeah, you don't get things because you are not having a car. We don't care about you when you don't have a car. And we are whooping. And we are whooping, you know. Hey, but I can't.
Oh, my brother, man. Going down. Look. Yeah. This is young, yeah? And that is 27, like, what? Christmas time.
Oh.
My friend, if you don't have money, now we just, I'm even more with you, no, I have 200. That's December. That's why they don't care. Oh, poor, they funny one, eh? What a celebrity, eh? Funny one, I'm going to put them on the fan.
Sure.
I'm going to go to Angolan, eh? It's not easy for you.
I am Angola. It is actually easy. What you just need to do is just follow the procedures.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you just follow the procedures nicely, you have a good time. Because as we've, like last year, I think we went there like 7 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was, the first time we went, my goodness. So, shitenda ne sha Germany, mbi ya alongo no shitenda sha Germany, ndishi. Alongo with English and British cars. So they don't deal with German cars.
Yes.
Hold on for me, please.
Save so much more in 2026 at WB. Get 1 liter Clover Ultra UHT milk for $19.99. 1 kg Top Score Instant Maize for only $23.99. 500 gram Bacomo Cornflakes for only $29.99. And 8 Twin Saver 300 sheet 1-ply toilet rolls for only $33.99. See more January specials at Wurmanbrock.com. We care.
Alrighty. Uh-huh. So, by then... just that day, my dear. And also, 90% of the places there in Onjiva, they don't swipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, they don't.
Yes, they don't swipe. And we don't have physical cash, my God.
Yeah.
Only ShopRite is swiping.
And the ShopRite is closed.
It's closed. Ufiko. Otuoya dama ne shimwe shani koshi ponga. Omatayela eshe oko nima. My dear, okoshi edu. And it was a run flat. You know the tires run flat. They keep running. Like they can burst, but you can still keep driving. Until you get to a place where so it was a run flat tires, my dear. De Oshiri, by the time we got there, we got close to the road and go kashona, but otu itulinata ngo mefururu, how to ya sakasho. My dear. Mbolyo kanjira katwarongifo kanjira ko koshike, ko,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
My goodness.
Yeah. A problem.
My dear. And then, luckily, the people that came to assist us, he just lives there at that village after Oshikango, like close to, what do you call it, Anu? The side where you pass Nengobi.
Oh, Abim Badalonga. Abim Badalonga, no Poshali. No, Kosei Degeinga.
Yeah, Lopo Shalchi.
Yeah.
So him, he just lives there. So he's every day, He's in and out of Angola. In and out of Angola. So he has Angolan friends and family. And you know, most Kwanyamas, they're also just Angolans.
All of them, my dear.
So, tetukongeranu, like, Manu and Victor Taverne. Now, it's so weird, Shashino. I'm so used to speaking English with other people. It's either English or Oshiwambo. I couldn't get used to the fact that you understand Oshiwambo, but you don't understand English. Shashino, here if you understand Oshiwambo, you also understand English. It's the same. Speaking English like this, zero. And then it was good because then they found us another place. Now the place that they found us first, Shashino Tango, when they got there, they were so afraid of the car. Shashishetemos. Now they wanted to pull the car, and then they're like, and then also the car is so heavy because it's a C200. It's so heavy. Right?
Yeah.
They like, then we just put it around the car so that people that are coming up or using the road, they don't bump it. And then we were, the hotel we wanted to sleep in, it was burned down. So the other one where they found Pefe, they are like, like $100 million. Just take us to another, I think it was it's a pensioner something. Hotel, the other side. There with white sheets and aircon and hot water my dear, when they dropped us there, so we didn't have cash, So these guys, they just gave us money for all our expenses there. And then when we are done buying our tires and all of that and all of us the next day, we go and give them their money. Because it's not far. And we slept now in there. Now the guy, Manu, is like, Manush is like, you people are rich. We are not rich. It's like, you guys are rich. You guys are driving a Mercedes. You guys are not even afraid. You guys are not even asking us when we are giving you the money. How much is it in Namibian dollars? You don't care. You guys have money. And also you are sleeping here. You guys have money. We're like, we don't have money. We are just normal people. Like, but then the next day, it was now the struggle of looking for tires. The tire sizes, they are not there in Angola. They are not there. Kaka konga, utapi wango, 17, ha? And it was just, the car was so low. So it was careful driving. Shash, there are so many potholes. So it was just careful driving from there. And we got back, but it was quite an experience, I'm telling you. Everywhere you are hearing is just bamboo chicks. Hey, esho shilingapi? Esho shilingapi ndati ai. What are with me? Mbonyo kwa mujoku. Eh, tamutulandi fa o t-shirt o Arsenal la for 700 and mbonyo kwa keno 50.
Mbonyo na shilingi za Angola.
Eh, mbonyo kimo keno 50.
Hamba. Dala. You see, I mean, when I went there, also, the following day, I think I spent like $40 for passport photo.
Mm.
Then for passport photo, I got bomba to the other one, poor and that. Oh, madam, was Yako Murmana Nidia, no Yako Angola.
Genuaku Filego passport, that
I have a big man. I never know. Our passport, I got quick.
Take a quick
travel a lot.
It's something similar. I think it's around 50k kilometers.
Yeah, somewhere there. Hey, what Africa knows? South Africa. Hey, they all go better, my bro. Most of all, we are poor people.
Koshi, I'm queer. Wailing gape because they are shoes or the ngai ya the kuku kando. Ehe, natango on Nike huyo inaro 1.2 kana kanchi.
E kulambu elon jilwe kenai.
On jilwe kenai.
E ndu usite when I went there, damana kwa matokso onda wala kwa umachon. Na 450. Mala is better than me. Hey, konde iye mi friend.
1.2.
2.5.
My
friend, if we just do like a business.
A business day. Do you know what type of business works in Angola?
Yeah.
Guest house.
Yeah.
Guest house, Anga. Guest house of Toyoshima.
Ma, no scholar. And we didn't put another was for a guy. From a scholar, you know me.
Escolar
di hapuman. Ah, we, they are traveling long distance.
Escolar di hapuman. Iyo, we are mono, no, magauna, o matokele.
O matoka? A me pureti? No, uno no vamos a hacer en ese. Pachai, yo. Yo
que cheque en ese, me siento.
That is a uniform, huh? They are still a student, right?
Oh, my. What are you encouraging? Hygiene, the pink one.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Apsa.
Oh, I'm not going to tell.
Hey, Apsa, Kombinga.
Oh.
And then they didn't know if the things are faulty or not, so they just closed everything down for the day.
In fact, it closed even when I went there.
Yeah.
It's still closed.
Mm-hmm. Oof, no, Isabella. You know what the funniest thing for me was, ne?
Yeah.
Ano very more. What the back in the to donale? To Africa, mena to sheni inya itenda.
Itenda ya.
No shike.
Oh, seriously? What you got?
No, now when you are talking to Akatenda, kokendo, that I like, I was like, oh, I no man. The second day to Kataro to Andishi, to Monomalola and everything. Pepe, Pokanjira, to Fatua Canapo. To a stopane. Maybe she was to paneo how to purene uka the naum kucha inaambo na pone eshetelimwe didi mopate mpano.
Yeah.
Uno na uka the neta utondoka taufadu kapo mem.
Yeah, that is what
so auto taufadu kapo fifandi tipa mota chomanda ba. Anu ya nukane no shike nenkoro.
Oh.
Gumwe hata po ano kwe hata po alela alela. Pepe atuti, no man nyomuna ne smartphone na you guys know life most. Tantu kukara muri primitive anga o tanti ne no. But hold the line one more time.
Ikungiriro kong karimo keje eripe villaeje mona mipia. Raka ota parandura etse ito jasimana. Talizi kumini tseri wuna mapsa. Ikuahi omea ne tendururo jevi. Natulipura kene nawa. Nukulita ambathana na negumbo aehe. Ashinda nukume. Natukulithipo omkaro wokuranda. Nukurandiza evi jaehe. Omomashi kembera. Ushoka evi jaehe monamipia. Evi jepangiro. No itali vurunandi okurandizo akuchane omunkaro wune. Ukukutha ombinga mirandizo jevi. Jaehe, o shirima shahari paveta, o veta etenduro jevi jaehe, o veton jintano yonvomo vigari nambari, o yinjika thiru thiru o shinima shika, iranduri irandizo jevi shahari paveta, o magero o paveta, o nakuyona otashivurika pewe egero jukufuta, nenge jonzorongo, o kupia ganika umbiri moshiwana, irandizo nenge okuranda evi jaehe, otashivurika siete o tamana na devi, o showo u Umbanda Moshiwana Shoka wapumbwa kutsea wa shoshika Evi jaehe Oje tweni atuheni Ojo onzo mzoka zina kutoporirwa sana No kuhanja uwa nawa Kukethe umwe Ukupatirapo uzinga wetu Mokusimanika evi jaehe Otatu ganja esimaniko John Kuruheni zetu No kugamine napo Onzingoroko wetu Lopota ume nyingo garipaveta Una wanzindirike ushinigwani maa tashirimbirike Shanika ulingiringi wera ndizo jevi jaehe Shiropo tambara kerero jupan siguru wakaro Ke uriko ngundumtima jevi jaehe Nenge kombirewa yu ministeri pope pinangoe Naturongire nikumwe Mukugamine napo onzo zetu jevi jaehe Morwa ushiwana shoko mongura Koneka kucha Itashikakara ushinakugwadithwa shu ministeri Mekaniso kehe jevi jahoroka onga ushi Zemo shiradizo jevi jaehe jaharipa veta zimburukwa evi jaehe uyamba wapumba naturigamine nepo nokurikarikapo morwa uwa nawa wakehe gumwe irongero kumwejoe otalipandurwa etu mwara kandika jopa radio Ujarongi kidwa ne ambilido Joshi Mariwa Obuzake Pangero Jo Republika Namibia ne Pangero Jo Republika ya Ndoishi okupitira mumbanga yo mapendurepo yo KFW kuyerele wa webapo kwa tafana nombere wa yu ministeri pope pinangoye nenge ombere wa yi pambere yoshi wana mu ministeri una mapsa I kwa khi o mea ne tendururo jevi kon umara yungo vi nora hamano imwe o mirongo mbali o mirongo ojetatu na khiali o mirongo Jamano, none.
Get so.
Uvite con Andishi. Nana, ni se llama Viando.
En la nada, tanto la vuelta.
En la nada, tanto la coma que huaco, coco, chique, coquique.
Oh, why? But isn't it? Mm-hmm. One thing goes on, Mr.
Yeah.
About the land. Or what the land clearance are. Nature know you are mining.
Yeah.
Okay, clearance is the That thing also must stop.
Yeah.
From, it must be involved. Okay, traditionally, that doesn't. So, yeah. My friend, I'm going to say, 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 Jadi mana?
Send mining.
No, tapi bukan soalnya mana yang tak tahu, yang tapi dia mana last tahu.
Send mining, ga?
Brother, send mining, ga? That must stop from the minister himself. Tapi sih yang bawa mereka, nasi dia ke ko tradisi nak cancel apa pun.
Ucha, untuk nara naninga le anaje,
de
e anale keli li oroku kuparo mash.
Yeah, sharp.
Yeah. Yes.
Not that way.
Yes.
Standing here.
Yeah. Ngueto karara era una Hiroshima shoe to kusamwaro mavi de Hiroshima shoe sha protecting warera watura kuonda tonde no shero yeah.
That's who pango no po de palevela.
Palevela yeah. Yes.
Monate no me friend mo la kupa.
Thank you so much. Okay, wait. So it's eating out with your wife, just you guys, and buying yourself nice things for at least 3 times a year for 450 so that your wife doesn't get angry. And then what else? What is the third one?
The third one, I think, just taking, I think now I was thinking of going to the movie alone. Huh? I would take my wife along.
So my hair in December, then the dishy, but I've been so busy. Tandi karanema mapando bera for 3 months, maro mapando getting a 6. But then the nekeroka kenisa 9.
Yeah.
So she have three and change it and change.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
It's a good man. Okay. Aye. Please. Nena, tike kutegere. Kosalo. Ndati, aye, marakatu nethimbo. Otunako ya konda. Aha, we. Otike kutegere. La, shatwa mana. Shashi, kanduweta no kuche pandari tameke peni. Then they could buy force, the tapandulange motua, the pandemic momo salona before ndiri monenda fula nda fuli ni hala ndishi
no hala no yeah
befe andika koshwa ne andi pand befe standi tandi tata tandi blow ne oponenda mono via nje tango yo monze
yeah what the
wow
wow
ndi tandi jima mo salona eh ndike mo look at tala look so here you eh yo kuna jili 14 ndishi amontini game
yes, you know.
My dear. So enjoy. Yes, enjoy, no. Man.
Ah, this year we need to take ourselves out. Man.
And no, man, I think we have worked very hard.
No close by, man, available for Malame. Friends are just not even singing off it.
You know what is funny? Shanyenge Ikene, Muli Mowambo for the whole month. There you yeah. and your wife are no kuyeke ko Benny's Park muka swimming.
Ah, she died. Nandi.
Nandi. No, no, naka ushikwar.
You know, that.
Kuneko swimming pool.
Mogi fa penya, mogi fa penya. Vaiko ango ya peni peni. Ako lo mwebe ilapo alimanga wako fuka.
Oshit.
Ewa jago, ya.
Ndaka mushike kuyeke ko restoranda. De tankali ni mai ni tamuipo swimming pool. De, like, ay.
I know whatever last time maybe I got to go on money. You should go on go shopping. No chips.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You guys, real money to waste. Yeah. Okay, man. Damas, can I have your phone? What's the go to me? But no chips. Ah, man. We don't.
I think it's also because of the kids, and we are trying to give them a good life. But honestly, ne, eat your money, my dear.
Eat your money. Some of us, we have this critique with I don't want my kid to go through what I went.
Yeah. But they are not.
Even a TV, it was a privilege.
However, they are not.
So food too. Yeah.
They are not going through what you went through. You are a great parent.
Yeah.
But you are just...
No, I'm going to never fill up with you. Maybe they were... And then I start forgetting about myself.
Oh, I'm going to go to the hospital.
He's
older than Elu.
Yeah, what the one?
He's 11.
Just imagine.
Kojoki?
Yeah.
Kojoki? Kakoli?
Very strong. Kakoli. Yeah, what the one? Yeah.
But then I'm going to go to the guys. No, man. But thank you so much, Uncle G.
Okay, shop.
Hey, what's up?
All right. Good evening to you. How are you guys doing? Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about prioritizing ourselves this year and how we are going to do it. Now, there are some scholars out here that have really done the work and really, really honestly put a lot of research and effort into studying self-prioritization. Because unfortunately, right, if we don't prioritize ourselves, no one will. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to listen to psychologist, philosopher Carl Jung, and he's going to be telling us about when you prioritize yourself, emotional healing flows without effort.
In a world that constantly urges us to prove our worth through the eyes of others, have you ever wondered, if you stopped seeking external validation, what would you have left in your hands? Carl Jung once affirmed that profound healing does not begin with the approval of others, but starts when we dare to confront ourselves. Only by connecting with the pain, the wounds, and the forgotten potentials within, can a person truly embark on the journey of healing. It is not the outside world that saves you. It is you who are the only one capable of saving yourself. Yet, amid the hurried pace of modern life, where recognition and achievements have become the measure of worth, we easily lose the inner voice. We learn to strain ourselves for acceptance, forgetting to ask, What do I truly want? The more we seek externally, the farther we drift from ourselves. If today you paused for a moment, listening to yourself instead of the outside world, what would you discover? Please share your thoughts. I would love to know where your inner journey is leading you. Number 1. Prioritizing yourself is not selfishness. It is an act of self-love. Perhaps one of the greatest misconceptions in the journey of personal development is the belief that putting oneself first is a selfish act. But Carl Jung pointed out, a man who has not passed through the inferno of his passions has never overcome them. Without facing ourselves, without caring for and listening to our inner needs, we will forever live as lost shadows in a world shaped by others. Taking care of oneself is not a retreat from life. It is a silent declaration. I respect the life that has been given to me. It is an acknowledgement that the inner world of each person deserves to be loved, heard, and protected, no less than anyone we have ever cherished. Imagine a garden. If you do not water it, fertilize it, and trim the weeds, that garden will not bloom. It cannot thrive, no matter how much praise you give it. We are the same. A person who does not nourish themselves with love and care will gradually wither. No matter how much external admiration they receive, a practical example that few notice is that in the medical field, many famous doctors have struggled with depression and burnout despite their brilliant careers. They heal others, but forget to heal themselves. The story of a leading doctor in Japan, who saved hundreds of cancer patients but committed suicide at the age of 47, leaving behind a note with only the words, "I forgot my soul," is a heartbreaking testament to this truth. When you dare to reject the standards imposed by society, family, or relationships, you are affirming one thing, that your worth is not the product of external acceptance. Jung emphasized, "The greatest burden a child must bear is the unlived life of the parents." Many people grow up carrying dreams that are not their own, but the unfulfilled dreams of the previous generation. A woman forced to study medicine to follow in her parents' footsteps, even though her heart burns for the arts, may become a successful doctor, but feel empty. A young man choosing a safe life because society advises, it may find himself living a life that feels like a foreign movie. When we lack the courage to write our life script, we unintentionally let others hold the pen. No miracle happens if we only strive to live according to standards. Emotional healing cannot occur in an environment where the self is suffocated, where we must deny our true needs in exchange for temporary acceptance. Jung wrote, "There is no coming to consciousness without pain. Awakening means accepting going through pain. It requires us to acknowledge that we have spent too long straining to live up to others' expectations while forgetting the faint but persistent voice within us." Another fresh example is the recent rise of the quiet quitting phenomenon, where workers choose to withdraw silently from the endless productivity race by refusing tasks beyond their official duties. It is not because they are lazy, but because they begin to realize that life cannot be confined only to recognition from bosses or year-end performance scores. They start to prioritize sleep, mental health, time for family, and time for themselves. It is a silent but powerful form of resistance to reclaim their wholeness. Respecting the life within is the bravest act a person can do in this chaotic era. You cannot truly offer love, empathy, or kindness to the world if you are empty inside, like a glass of water. You can only invite others to drink when your glass is full. Carl Jung emphasized, "You are what you do, not what you say you'll do." Prioritizing yourself does not lie in declarations, but in small daily actions, knowing when to stop, when to say no, and when to walk away, even when fear fills your heart. Prioritizing yourself is not abandoning the world. It is loving the world with a self that is no longer fractured. When you heal yourself, you not only soothe yourself, but you also spread that peace to those around you. A mother who cares for her mental health will raise confident children. A leader who respects their limits will build healthy teams. A lover who knows how to listen to themselves will know how to listen to others without imposing. And finally, ask yourself, if today you placed your hand over your heart and asked, "What do you truly need right now?" What would the answer be? Please share your feelings, because the journey back to yourself always begins with a sincere conversation like this. Number 2. Living disconnected from yourself creates the shadow, but the journey of self-love does not end with caring for and listening to yourself. It is also a commitment not to run away from the parts of you that you have once feared or denied. Carl Jung called these parts the shadow, the inner darkness that holds everything we do not want to face. Repressed anger, hidden jealousy, forgotten pain. Jung wrote, "Everyone carries a shadow, and the less it is embodied in the individual's conscious life, the blacker and denser it is." Psychology and Religion, 1938. The shadow does not disappear just because we pretend it does not exist. On the contrary, it grows stronger the more we deny it, silently influencing our behavior, decisions, and destiny. When we live disconnected from ourselves, we not only lose the joy of living, but also unconsciously open the door for the shadow to run our lives. Have you ever wondered why you repeatedly fall into relationships that hurt you? Why do you often fall deeply for those who cannot fully love you back? It is not a coincidence, it is the echo of the shadow. Jung explained that the parts we reject will seek expression through repeated patterns. Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life, and you will call it fate. Ion, 1951. When we do not recognize and heal old wounds, we are led by them like actors in a play we are unaware of. A real-life story that few notice. Some people achieve great success in their careers, but their love lives are a series of broken relationships. They think they are simply unlucky, but in reality, they are unconsciously seeking out old scripts where they must prove their worth to be loved, just as they had to do in a childhood deprived of affection. A female entrepreneur I once knew, who built a multi-million dollar company, spent 20 years choosing partners who were violent and cold. Only when she courageously faced her shadow, the fear of not being recognized, could she break free from this cycle. Not only in love, but the shadow also infiltrates the way we treat ourselves. Self-sabotage, seemingly irrational actions like procrastination, ruining opportunities, or destroying good relationships, are signals from wounded parts crying out to be heard. A young artist, despite receiving many valuable opportunities, always arrived late, submitted works past deadlines, and eventually lost his rising career. Upon deep reflection, he realized he had always believed he was not good enough, a belief planted by childhood criticisms. The shadow of self-doubt had silently shaped every action until he was willing to face and heal it. Constant dissatisfaction, a persistent feeling of emptiness, or an inability to enjoy life, are also signals of an unacknowledged shadow. Some people cannot feel joy even after achieving their dream goals, like pilgrims who can never find their destination. This is the inevitable result when the shadow, with its true dreams and primal needs, has been imprisoned for too long. Jung emphasized, "We cannot change anything unless we accept it." Collected Works, Volume 14. This means that only by accepting the existence of the shadow can we truly begin the process of transformation. No one can escape their inner darkness. The question is not whether you have a shadow, but whether you dare to face it. The shadow is not the enemy. It is the missing part that needs to be integrated for you to become whole. Just as the moon cannot shine without darkness, human beings cannot grow without embracing their weaknesses and ugliness. So if right now you dare to sit down, close your eyes, and ask yourself, what part of me have I always denied? What would surface first? Please share your feelings, because sometimes the bravest act is to admit that darkness too is part of the light. Number 3. Healing emotions. By looking inward, recognizing the shadow is only the first step. True healing begins when we dare to look directly inside and dialogue with the inner world we have long avoided. Carl Jung once wrote, "Your vision will become clear only when you can look into your own heart. Who looks outside, dreams. Who looks inside, awakens." Memories, Dreams, Reflections, 1961. The outer world, with all that we experience, is merely a mirror reflecting the inner state of ourselves. The repeated relationships, painful situations, and seemingly accidental wounds are not random. They are the most honest mirror the unconscious sets up to show us what remains unreconciled within. Take an example few mention in recent years, the phenomenon of mirroring relationships. Relationships that reflect the inner shadow has been increasingly noted by therapists. A woman who is repeatedly betrayed in love, not because the world is full of betrayers, but because within her lies a deep belief that she is not worthy of being fully loved. Each unfaithful partner simply plays the role of exposing that hidden belief until she becomes awake enough to realize that the problem no longer lies with them, but originates from herself. Jung called this the process of confronting the externalized shadow. Everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. Memories, Dreams, Reflections, 1961. Not only in love, recurring negative situations are also reminders to look at old wounds. A man who is repeatedly deceived by business partners loses faith in society, thinking life is unfair. Yet when he begins his inner journey, he realizes that his insecurity and desperate need for validation made him ignore warning signs from the start. Betrayal is not merely an accident. It is a wake-up call about an unhealed need for self-respect. When we are no longer afraid of the truth, we see that every other is merely playing a role in the unfinished inner drama of ourselves. The hardest part of healing is taking responsibility for the reality we are living in. It is much easier to blame the world, harsh parents, bad lovers, and an unjust society. But Jung candidly reminded, "The world will ask you who you are, and if you don't know, the world will tell you." The Undiscovered Self, 1957. If we do not dare to look inward and understand ourselves, we will forever be victims of stories written by others. On the contrary, when we begin to listen to the forgotten emotions and the suppressed desires, we regain the power to write our own lives. A very modern example, many young people today choose to leave big cities, rejecting the successful life according to traditional standards, to seek a minimalist life closer to nature. They no longer seek value from external titles, but begin to seek inner peace. This is not a shallow trend. It is a sign that more and more people are returning to face their inner world, admitting that what they once strived for was merely an effort to fill an inner void. Healing emotions, therefore, is not about changing the outside world, nor about trying to control others to treat us better. It is about going deep within, listening to ourselves with honesty and courage. When we change our understanding of ourselves, the world changes naturally. Toxic relationships naturally leave our lives. Stuck situations gradually lose their weight, not because the world becomes better, but because we no longer emit the wounded signals that once attracted painful lessons. If today you sit quietly for a minute and ask yourself, what is my life reflecting about my soul? You will find the first clue on your healing journey. Number 4, facing pain and darkness. Even after recognizing the source of inner wounds, the healing journey is far from easy. It demands a special kind of courage, the courage to face the pain and darkness within oneself, instead of continuing to deny or flee from it. Carl Jung once warned, "One does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious." The Philosophical Tree, 1945. Light does not come from covering wounds with a white cloth. Light only emerges when we dare to step into the darkness, dare to name the pain and the deepest fears within our being. The modern world teaches us to avoid pain through busy work, excessive consumption, and fleeting relationships, yet none of these can substitute for the act of sitting down and facing the raw, unedited pain within ourselves. Just like a physical wound needs proper cleaning and treatment rather than temporary bandages, emotional wounds require us to touch them, to hurt with them, and to patiently heal from within. Facing pain also means learning to set boundaries, something many people find incredibly difficult. We fear that saying no will lead to rejection, to being seen as selfish, to losing love from others. But in reality, every time we do not dare to say no, we are also saying no to ourselves. Jung once wrote, "The most terrifying thing is to accept oneself completely." Modern Man in Search of a Soul, 1933. Self-acceptance includes admitting that we have limits, that we cannot forever sacrifice ourselves just to be loved. Setting boundaries is not an act of rejecting others, but an act of respecting ourselves and also respecting others by letting them know who we truly are and what we truly need. Imagine a person who always says yes to every request, forcing themselves to please everyone, only to one day find themselves exhausted, empty, feeling like a hollow shell without vitality. This is not love. It is a form of self-abandonment. A very current example, in many businesses today, the movement Boundaries Over Burnout is spreading, encouraging employees to set clear boundaries around time and work to prevent exhaustion. People are beginning to understand that true productivity does not come from draining themselves, but from protecting their mental energy wisely. An unpleasant but necessary truth must be repeated. Healing cannot happen in a toxic environment. You cannot recover if you are still living in a space filled with criticism, disdain, or emotional violation. Jung emphasized, "We meet ourselves time and again in a thousand disguises on the path of life." Memories, Dreams, Reflections, 1961. If we stay in environments that feed old wounds, we cannot grow. A person trying to heal while maintaining toxic relationships is no different from trying to heal a wound while continuing to cut it open every day. Some decisions may seem small, yet change the entire course of life. Deciding to leave an unhealthy relationship, deciding to quit a job that poisons your spirit, deciding to spend time on things that nourish your soul instead of endlessly feeding emptiness. Each such decision is a silent declaration. I choose myself. Facing pain, setting boundaries, and stepping away from toxic environments, all of which can make you feel empty at first. But do not confuse temporary loneliness with failure. In truth, it is the necessary space for new life to begin to sprout. If today you dare to place your hand over old wounds and ask yourself, "Am I still staying in an environment that does not allow me to heal?" you are opening the first door to a truly whole life. Please share what you realize, because sometimes just one decision to choose yourself is enough to change your entire destiny. Number 5. The process of individuation. After having the courage to face the pain and leave environments that no longer fit, a new door begins to open and the journey of individuation begins. Carl Jung regarded individuation as the most important task of a lifetime, the process through which each person becomes the unique individual they were meant to be. He wrote, "Individuation means becoming an individual, and insofar as individuality embraces our innermost, last and incomparable uniqueness, it also implies becoming oneself." Collected Works, Volume 7, 1953. Individuation is not about becoming perfect in the eyes of others. It is the courageous journey of peeling away layers of societal expectations to rediscover oneself. We grow up in a world that constantly teaches us that our value is tied to the gaze of others, grades, appearance, status, and reputation. Yet the more we rely on external standards, the more we lose touch with our true nature. The journey of individuation begins when you dare to ask, "If no one were watching me, if no applause or criticism existed, how would I choose to live?" It is the moment when we step out of borrowed robes, face our barest self, and begin to build a life from the inside out. A real example not often considered in the creative arts, there is a new wave of anonymous artists who refuse to put their names in the spotlight, letting their work speak for itself. A famous photographer who hid his identity for nearly a decade once shared, "When I stopped trying to become someone, I finally created something meaningful." This embodies the spirit of individuation, acting from an internal urge without needing applause to feel valuable. In everyday life, individuation might be choosing not to chase a consumerist lifestyle, opting for a small house in the mountains instead of a luxury city apartment. It might be choosing a simple job that brings joy over clinging to a prestigious title you have long despised. Individuation is not about better or worse. It is only about true or false. But this path is not easy. When you stop seeking external recognition, you will first face emptiness. That emptiness is necessary because only in that space can you begin to hear the voice of your soul. Carl Jung once said, "The shoe that fits one person pinches another. There is no recipe for living that suits all cases." Modern Man in Search of a Soul, 1933. There is no single formula for life that fits everyone. You were not born to be a mass-produced copy of those around you. You were born to discover and live the full uniqueness of your being. The beautiful thing is, as you go deeper into the process of individuation, external recognition becomes unnecessary for you to feel complete. Compliments no longer lift you too high. Criticisms no longer crush you. You understand that your value cannot be added to or taken away by the agreement or disapproval of others. Your very existence is enough. Number 6. Accepting loss and temporary loneliness. Individuation, though powerful and liberating, also carries a price that not everyone is ready to pay. The price of loss. When you begin to prioritize yourself, you will realize that not all relationships can accompany you on this new journey. Carl Jung once said, "Loneliness does not come from having no people around you, but from being unable to communicate the things that seem important to oneself." Memories, Dreams, Reflections, 1961. The deepest loneliness is not the lack of people around, but the inability to share honestly what is truly happening in your soul. When you change, when you begin to live according to your inner truth, relationships built on compromise, concealment, or your old self will naturally crack. You do not need to create conflict. The difference in energy frequency between you and others will naturally lead to widening gaps. A person who was once a close friend may now feel distant. A partner who once collaborated easily may suddenly fall out of sync. This does not mean you have failed or become difficult. It simply reflects that real transformation within you is taking place. A fresh real-life example from modern life: many people, after deep meditation retreats, psychological therapy sessions, or self-discovery journeys, have had to face the rift with family or old friends, not because they have become superior, but because they no longer wish to engage in empty conversations, in relationships heavy with role-playing. A young woman once shared that, after daring to pursue her dream of art instead of a stable finance career, she gradually lost her old circle of friends, those who only knew her as the successful girl according to social standards. That loss was painful, but it also opened space for deeper, truer connections to enter. Carl Jung emphasized that real change requires a death of the old. There is no coming to consciousness without pain. Psychological Aspects of the Persona, 1953. Each time an old part of us dies, old relationships, outdated self-images, and habits that once defined us, a new space is created for something more fitting and true to our real being to emerge. However, the gap between the old and the new is not comfortable. It is like standing in a room that has just been cleared, empty, not yet adorned with anything new. Many people fear this emptiness and rush to fill it with temporary connections, with old roles, just to avoid the feeling of loneliness. But if we have enough courage to stay in that void, to breathe with loneliness without panic, real rebirth has a chance to occur. Accepting temporary loneliness is not failure, but a sign that you are growing. Losing is not truly a loss, but freeing yourself from what no longer serves your growth journey. Just like pruning wilted branches so that the tree can bloom in spring, letting go is also a natural and necessary part of life. Number 7. Crossing the dark night of the soul. If the process of loss and loneliness is the first note, then the dark night of the soul is the full symphony for the deepest transformation in the journey of individuation. Carl Jung, with his profound understanding of the hidden movements of the psyche, once described, "There is no coming to consciousness without pain." Psychological Aspects of the Persona, 1953. Consciousness does not open through safety, but through stepping into pain. The pain of losing what once defined us, and facing the unnamed emptiness inside. The dark night of the soul is not mere sadness, nor just a crisis that time can automatically heal. It is the moment when the soul feels stripped of all armor, all illusions, everything that once served as the foundation for the old identity. It is when you no longer know who you are, no longer know what lies ahead, and no longer find value in what once helped you survive. It is the feeling of utter loss, and also the starting point for true rebirth. During this stage, the greatest temptation is to retreat to the familiar past. We want to cling to old relationships, old habits, old roles, because at least they are familiar. They give a false sense of safety. But Jung warned, "What you resist persists." The Psychology of the Transference, 1946. What we resist will only prolong the pain. If we cling to the remnants of the old ego, we are merely imprisoning ourselves longer in the storm of disorientation. Crossing the dark night of the soul requires the courage to stand still in the emptiness, not rushing to fill it with anything momentarily comforting. It is the deep act of trusting that emptiness is also part of the journey, that not every silence needs to be broken, and that a new order will naturally arise from the ashes of the old, but only if we are patient enough to allow it to unfold in its way. A little-known real-life story, before J.K. Rowling wrote the world-famous Harry Potter series, she went through a deep depression, lived on welfare, and saw herself as a complete failure. It was in that darkness, when there was nothing left to lose, that she dared to write the magical story that had always existed within her. Rowling later admitted, "Rock bottom became the solid foundation on which I rebuilt my life." Commencement address at Harvard University, 2008. Hitting rock bottom became the foundation for a new life. This is the spirit of passing through the night of the soul, accepting the free fall to find the wings within yourself. If you currently feel empty, lost, or even bewildered by yourself, know that you are not alone. The bravest souls, those who truly touch inner freedom, have all passed through this stage. There is no need to rush for answers. No need to force yourself to overcome faster. Simply stay with yourself. Be honest with what you feel, no matter how uncomfortable it is. In that emptiness, a new life is quietly taking root. Number 8. Inner transformation leads to outer change. When you emerge from the dark night of the soul with the courage to no longer define yourself by an outdated past, something strange begins to happen. The outer world seems to change. But in reality, as Carl Jung pointed out, as far as we can discern, the sole purpose of human existence is to kindle a light in the darkness of mere being. Memories, Dreams, Reflections, 1961. We are not here to fix the outside world. We are here to ignite the light within ourselves. And when your inner world changes, the outer world naturally adjusts itself. The change is not always dramatic. Sometimes it unfolds in the smallest details. You no longer feel the need to impress anyone. You begin to attract relationships that are light, where your presence is welcomed without you straining to prove your worth. Conversations become deeper, shedding layers of social masks. New opportunities come.
Why pay more when you can pay less at USave stores? 2 kilograms real good frozen mixed chicken portions for only $109.99. 5 kilos top score super maize meal, $62.99. 500 grams Romy 37% fat spread brick, just $13.99. And pay $34.99 for 750 grams U-Brand original mayonnaise. USave, where good food costs less.
Not because you chase them in panic, but because you have become a natural source of energy that attracts what resonates with your new frequency. A very real example in modern life. People who have undergone a deep healing journey often share that old friends naturally drift away, and new relationships, profound, empathetic, and unconditional, naturally appear. An entrepreneur once shared that, after years of living in the whirlwind of fake social relations, only after deciding to live honestly with his emotions did he connect with business partners who shared the same core values, leading to successes more sustainable than he had ever expected. Jung explained this phenomenon through the concept of energetic resonance. The meeting of two personalities is like the contact of two chemical substances. If there is any reaction, both are transformed. Modern Man in Search of a Soul, 1933. When you change your inner frequency, you no longer react to old patterns of energy, and you are no longer aligned with relationships based on fear, scarcity, or manipulation. Instead, you resonate with authentic people, with relationships that nourish rather than deplete. The miracle is that you do not have to try to find the right people. When you prioritize yourself, when you live true to your inner truth, you become a lighthouse. That light naturally attracts those who recognize it, love it, and wish to walk alongside it, without shouting, without persuading, without negotiating, and the opposite happens too. What no longer fits you will naturally fall away. Relationships once built on compromise, situations that once forced you to shrink yourself to fit, will gradually move away, without battles or arguments. The new truth inside you will do the work of clearing naturally. Number 9. Liberation from old patterns, opening to the future. When true inner transformation has taken place, another gateway quietly opens, and you begin to liberate yourself from the old patterns, the invisible loops that once bound you within the collective unconscious. Carl Jung emphasized, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. Ion, 1951. As long as we live according to scripts we are unaware of, we continue to believe that fate is an immutable force. But when the light of consciousness shines on old patterns, a new freedom begins to form, the right to rewrite the story of our own life. The patterns of the collective unconscious, social prejudices, family expectations, fear of abandonment, and the need for acceptance have long infiltrated every decision, every choice we make. They shape how we love, how we work, and how we deal with failure and success. We believe we must marry according to a certain standard, must achieve success by a certain age, and must live a life someone else has drafted for us. But when you begin to see that all these musts are merely inherited beliefs, not unchanging truths, you stand at a great crossroads to continue repeating or to create a new, current real-life example. The younger generation today is strongly challenging old molds. They choose non-traditional lifestyles, abandoning office jobs to become digital nomads, living in remote villages to seek peace instead of the glitter of the cities. It is not because they are rebellious, as some think, but because they realize that the common path no longer fits the call from within. A new consciousness has given them the freedom to reject outdated templates and create a new reality. Jung believed that the expansion of consciousness is the only key to freeing humans from blind fate. The most terrifying thing is to accept oneself completely. Modern Man in Search of a Soul, 1933. When you truly accept yourself, both the light and the dark parts, you no longer need to chase external models to feel worthy. You understand that destiny is not a sentence imposed from the outside, but a living current you can shape each day through every thought, every action, every decision that arises from full consciousness. Liberation from old patterns also means stepping into the land of pure creativity, where there are no pre-made molds, where you are allowed to become something entirely new, uncopied, unrepeated. Like an artist standing before a blank canvas, you can paint whatever you wish, not because others expect it, not because society demands it, but simply because it is the truest expression of your being. After all, the journey of emotional healing is not an effort to make the outer world more pleasant, nor is it about changing others to fit our desires. True healing begins with a simple yet profound act, choosing yourself every day, choosing to listen to yourself instead of the noise of society, choosing to stay loyal to your inner truth instead of chasing others' expectations, choosing to step directly into the darkness when necessary, because it is there that the deepest light is found. Carl Jung left us an immortal philosophical legacy that wholeness does not come from eliminating darkness, but from integrating it into the light of consciousness. And that process of returning to oneself step by step, breath by breath, small decision is the only way for your life to become whole and authentic. So today, I want to leave you with a question that could change your entire journey ahead, if you dare to answer it with your heart. Are you ready to step into the journey of prioritizing yourself and awakening your inner wholeness?
Experience the emotional balance we long. Carl Jung taught us that within every human being, there is a hidden inner world, a vast and silent universe that holds the key to understanding who we truly are. This world cannot be seen with the eyes, but it can be felt like a subtle whisper that invites us to look beyond the surface and explore the depths of our own existence. Yet we live in a society that constantly distracts us, a world that pushes us to search for answers outside of ourselves, as if the truth were always somewhere else and never within. Jung, however, asks us to do something radically different, to pause, to turn inward, and dare to listen to that quiet voice we have ignored for so long. Maybe you felt disconnected at some point, trapped in a cycle of emotions you don't fully understand, or stuck in relationships that leave you feeling empty. Perhaps you found yourself living a routine that feels mechanical, repetitive, or devoid of meaning. Jung believed that these experiences arise because we have forgotten how to listen to our own being, that inner presence that holds the answers we desperately search for in the outside world. And this disconnection doesn't just affect our emotional life. It influences our decisions, the relationships we form, the opportunities we ignore, and even our physical health. The true challenge is not in solving what happens outside of us, but in confronting what we have avoided inside ourselves. Jung called this journey the integration of the shadow, a process in which we recognize and embrace the parts of ourselves we have repressed or denied. These unresolved emotions, these fears we avoid facing, behave like accumulated energy waiting to be released. But confronting them requires courage, because looking inward forces us to face our own vulnerability, our mistakes, and perhaps the most difficult truth of all, our personal responsibility. You may have sensed this discomfort in specific moments, a strange emptiness at the end of the day, an exhaustion that appears after interacting with certain people, or a resistance that emerges every time you try to change something important in your life. These experiences are not random. They are messages sent by your unconscious. Jung believed that the unconscious does not speak in words, but in symbols, sensations, and emotions. It is a secret language that only reveals its meaning when you give yourself the time and silence to listen. Every time you ignore that subtle signal, you disconnect a little more from yourself, and that disconnection gradually becomes an invisible weight you carry without noticing. This weight pushes you to prioritize the needs of others while abandoning your own, believing that this is noble or admirable. But emotional healing requires something different. It requires learning to prioritize yourself, not out of selfishness, but out of genuine self-respect. Self-love, according to Jung, is not a cliche nor a pretty idea to repeat when life gets complicated. It is a deep commitment to your own existence. It means setting boundaries, saying no when something does not resonate with you, and allowing yourself to be who you truly are, without masks, without pretending, without diminishing your essence to fit in. Jung emphasized that only when we give ourselves permission to be authentic can we finally experience the emotional balance we long for. But this path is not easy, because it often requires letting go of what no longer belongs to us. And sometimes that means letting go of people, habits, or even dreams that once felt important but no longer align with who we are becoming. Imagine your life as a garden. If you allow weeds to grow unchecked, they will steal the nutrients your flowers need to bloom. In the same way, when you allow toxic relationships, self-destructive patterns, or unresolved fears to dominate your life, you prevent your true essence from flourishing. Removing these weeds is an act of courage, but also an act of trust. Trust that by letting go, you are creating space for something better to grow. And the truth is, not everyone will understand your decision. Some people may call you selfish or try to make you feel guilty for prioritizing your well-being. This is where one of Jung's most powerful teachings comes in. The outer world always mirrors your inner world. If there is peace and clarity within you, the relationships and experiences you attract will reflect that same harmony. You don't need to convince anyone of your path. You only need to walk it with conviction. And when you begin to prioritize yourself, something extraordinary happens. Your energy changes, your perspective expands, and opportunities start appearing where you once saw only obstacles. It's as if life itself responds to your decision to take care of your inner world. Jung called this synchronicity, those moments when everything seems to align perfectly, as if the universe were guiding you. But synchronicity is not random. It is the natural consequence of being aligned with your true self. Of course, the change is not immediate, nor always easy. There will be days when you doubt yourself, days when you wonder whether the journey is truly worth it. But every step you take toward your authenticity brings you closer to a fuller and more meaningful life. Jung reminded us that the purpose of life is not to avoid pain, but to find meaning in it. Pain becomes the bridge that leads us to transformation when we face it with honesty and courage. So today, ask yourself, which parts of you have you been ignoring? Which emotions, dreams, or needs have you pushed aside in order to please others? What could change if you finally listened to yourself and gave yourself what you truly need? The answers to these questions have the power to reshape your entire life and reveal the enormous potential you carry within. When you begin to listen to these inner signals and act accordingly, something deep awakens within you. It feels like a door that had always been locked suddenly begins to open, allowing a light to enter. A light you had never experienced before. That light is your truth, the most authentic version of yourself, the part of you that has always been present, but buried beneath the noise and demands of the external world. Jung taught that the unconscious is not merely a container for our traumas or fears. It is also a well of infinite wisdom. Inside, it lie the answers to the questions you have asked yourself for years. Why do certain people drain your energy? Why do you repeat the same patterns in your relationships? Why do you feel stuck despite all your efforts? These answers have never been outside of you. They have always been hidden within, waiting for you to be brave enough to look. You might have noticed that certain people, situations, or even places trigger intense emotions in you, anger, sadness, or even a sense of emptiness. Jung explained that these experiences are reflections of your own shadow, the part of yourself you have repressed because it doesn't match the image you want to show the world. But here lies the secret. These emotions are not your enemies. They are your teachers. They appear to reveal what part of you needs attention, which wounds are asking to be healed. Integrating your shadow is not comfortable, but it is essential. It requires raw honesty, the willingness to look at yourself without judgment, and the courage to accept every part of who you are, even the ones you believe are the least pleasant. Because only when you accept yourself completely can real transformation begin. Carl Jung said that anything you fail to make conscious will return into your life as destiny. In other words, whatever you deny, suppress, or refuse to face will keep showing up in different forms until you finally find the courage to confront it. Imagine for a moment that you are carrying a backpack filled with heavy stones. Each stone represents a suppressed emotion, an unresolved fear, or a toxic connection you refuse to release. This backpack weighs far more than you realize, and its weight silently limits your ability to move forward. But here is the good news. You have the power to open that backpack, examine every stone, and decide which ones you no longer need to carry. The act of letting go is both liberating and profoundly transformative. Letting go does not mean erasing the past, nor does it mean pretending things never happened. It means learning from what you lived, taking what strengthens you, and releasing what no longer resonates with who you are becoming. This is an act of self-love, a message to your unconscious mind that you are ready for something better. And when you do this, something remarkable begins to happen. Your energy shifts, and with that shift, your reality begins to reorganize itself. Jung strongly believed that the outer world is always a reflection of your inner world. That is why, when you transform your inner landscape, the outer world inevitably responds. You may have noticed that when you decide to prioritize yourself, certain people or situations naturally fade away. This is not a coincidence. It is a natural realignment. Relationships and circumstances that are not aligned with your truth cannot remain when you choose to live from authenticity. It can feel painful, yes, but it is a necessary pain because it creates space for what is meant to grow in your life. As you continue walking this path, something curious begins to happen. The right people start appearing. Relationships that inspire you, support you, and help you grow enter your life effortlessly. Experiences that once felt impossible now arrive with ease. This is the synchronicity Jung spoke about. That mysterious sense that everything is unfolding at the perfect moment. But to reach this point, you must first cultivate the courage to prioritize yourself. And the greatest obstacle in this process is not the world outside, it is the world within. That inner voice that insists you are not enough, that you do not deserve love, success, or joy, that you should settle for less. That voice is what Jung called the inner critic. It is a part of your psyche, shaped by years of external expectations, criticism, disappointments, and fears. But here is the truth. That voice is not you. It is merely an echo of the past, and you possess the power to silence it, to replace it with a new narrative that supports your growth rather than restricts it. When you begin to speak to yourself with compassion, something beautiful starts to unfold. You become more confident in your decisions, more grounded in your choices, and more trusting of your ability to create a life that genuinely inspires you. You realize that you do not need the approval of others to feel whole. The only approval you ever truly needed was your own. This is the true meaning of prioritizing yourself. Giving yourself permission to be happy, even if that means disappointing others along the way. Life was never meant to be a constant battle. It is meant to be a journey of self-discovery, growth, and connection. But to experience it fully, you must be willing to look inward, to face your shadows, and release what no longer serves you. This is the legacy of Carl Jung. the invitation to know yourself, not as you think you should be, not as the world expects you to be, but as you truly are at your core. When you walk this path, something extraordinary happens. You begin to remember who you really are, not the role you play in society, not the image you try to uphold, but your authentic self, the unique and valuable being that has always existed beneath layers of conditioning. And when you live from that place of authenticity, you do more than transform your own life. You quietly inspire others to do the same. As you start remembering who you truly are, something within you ignites. It feels like awakening from a long, heavy dream. And for the first time in a long time, everything begins to make sense. This awakening is not sudden. It is a process that unfolds through every small act of self-reflection and every decision you make to prioritize your inner truth. Jung often spoke about individuation, the path toward becoming your true self beyond social expectations, external influences, and the roles you were conditioned to play. But this process is rarely linear. It often feels like a labyrinth. You take one step forward, then two steps back, and sometimes you feel completely lost. Yet even in the midst of confusion, you are still moving forward, because every step, no matter how uncertain, brings you closer to your essence. You may face resistance, not only from the world around you, but also from within. There is a part of you that feels safe in the familiar, even if the familiar is painful or limiting. The mind tends to cling to what it knows, because the unknown is intimidating. But here lies the paradox. Only by stepping into the unknown can you discover the answers you have been seeking. Jung believed that our greatest transformations occur during moments of uncertainty. These are the moments when life challenges you to release what you thought you were, so you can uncover who you truly are. During this journey, it is important to remember that you are not alone. While this path is deeply personal, it is also universal. Every human being faces their shadows, doubts, and fears at some point. And within that shared struggle, there is something profoundly beautiful, because it connects you to the deepest layers of the human experience. When you face your shadows, you are not battling something external. You are meeting aspects of yourself that need to be integrated. Jung taught that the shadow is not an enemy. It becomes an ally when you learn how to listen to it. Every intense emotion, every disproportionate reaction, every pattern that keeps repeating is an invitation to look deeper. These moments invite you to ask, what am I avoiding within myself? What chapter of my story still needs to be acknowledged? This honesty may feel uncomfortable, but it is also liberating. When you confront what you once suppressed, you realize you are far stronger than you believed. You rediscover your ability to hold your own pain, to process it, and to transform it into wisdom. In doing so, you reclaim your power. You no longer seek validation from others, because you understand that everything you need exists within you. True transformation occurs the moment you realize that the answers you've been searching for have never been outside of you. They were always within. That relationship that didn't work out, that job that didn't fulfill you, that goal that seemed unreachable. None of these were failures. They were mirrors, reflecting exactly what you needed to learn about yourself. Carl Jung taught us that every experience, no matter how painful or unsettling it may be, carries a purpose within it, and that purpose is to help you grow, evolve, and move closer to your truest self. Yet this growth does not mean that you will never face challenges again. life will always present new lessons, new obstacles, and new opportunities for deeper understanding. But when you learn to prioritize yourself, listen to your inner voice, and trust your intuition, you begin to face these challenges from a place of inner strength rather than from weakness. It doesn't mean fear disappears entirely, but it does mean that fear no longer has the power to paralyze you. Intuition, that quiet internal whisper that we often overlook or dismiss, is one of the most powerful tools you possess. Jung believed that intuition is the language of the unconscious, the way your inner world communicates with you and guides you toward what is best for your soul. But listening to it requires practice, because we live in a world that constantly teaches us to doubt ourselves, to seek answers outside rather than within. Reclaiming trust in your intuition becomes an act of rebellion, an act of self-love that carries the power to change your entire life. Every time you choose to prioritize yourself, you strengthen that connection with your intuition. You begin noticing things that once went unnoticed. A subtle sensation in the body, a thought that refuses to leave you, an emotion that surfaces without explanation. These are not coincidences. They are messages from your unconscious, reminders that you are aligned with your inner path. And when you finally learn to listen to these messages, you discover that you were never walking blindly. You have always had an inner guide waiting patiently for you to trust it. Once you begin to trust your intuition and follow its subtle signals, something fundamental shifts in how you experience life. Decisions that once felt heavy or confusing begin to flow with greater clarity. Opportunities you once chased start appearing naturally, almost effortlessly. Most importantly, you begin to feel a deeper connection with yourself. This connection is not something external that you must search for. It is something that has always existed, quietly waiting for you to pause long enough to recognize it. Jung taught that the most important relationship you will ever experience is the one you have with yourself. Yet in the modern world, it is easy to forget this truth. We become so occupied trying to meet other people's expectations, fitting into roles or molds that were never ours, that we rarely take a moment to ask ourselves simple yet transformative questions. What do I truly want? What do I genuinely need in order to feel whole? These questions may seem small, but they hold the power to reshape your life. Fulfillment is never found in perfection, nor in the approval of others, but in authenticity. And being authentic means being willing to face every part of yourself, even the parts you would prefer to avoid.
And that is how you prioritize yourself. For me, the matriarch, I say bye-bye.